Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio.
On tight, Action Radio presents the Fetke Report.
Good morning, Action Radio land. I am ready to have a Penglisticular day. I screwed that word up.
Did you just say Penglis testicular? What did you just say?
It's supposed to be spectacular with Penglis.
Oh, spectacular. Okay, fine. Penglis stacular.
Yeah,
okay, fine.
Yeah.
I think the first version was funnier.
I totally butchered that one. But
no, that's okay.
I am
listen,
not feeling...
I didn't tell you I was going to go right to your theme. Usually I say a few words. But if you're here, right, but if you're here, you know, 10 seconds before the show, I'll just go right to the theme and just get you going because then we have
exactly.
Limited time. So let's have a really testicular time, Bill. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm not feeling very great-tastic today, that's for sure.
Oh, what's wrong, Bill?
Nah, it's this change of weather. It's got, you know, everyone's got a head cold right now, congestion going into the chest. You know, our clinic has been packed all week. Actually about the last week and a half with sick kids, so it's good for our business. It's obviously not good for schools. So I got two main topics today. I'm going to let you pick what you want to pick first. Number one, we almost had a battle royal in the Senate yesterday. And number
I saw
two,
the clip right before the show. Well, stand up. Let's you want to show this right here and now? And the guy goes to take off his ring right there. That was hysterical. This is the way the House used to be back in the old days. We're going to bring back dueling. Do you remember the show we did on dueling? Do you remember that? It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, barely. but then you got Senator Birch from Tennessee, you know, confronting Kevin McCarthy during an interview with NPR. It calls him a jerk on live air.
Well, let's cover both of them because this is funny. You know, we want the Republicans to fight back, but not each other. And this isn't exactly what we had in mind. Stupid idiots.
That's all part one. Part two.
Uh-huh.
Democrats may be right that Florida has the stupidest people in the world.
Stupidest in the world, but could be the country maybe. And there's some really stupid people out there.
We'll stay in the country.
Let's start with Florida.
Yeah, we'll start there because that's going to be pretty quick. Florida is known for rain. It rains a lot here in Florida.
Oh, it does.
I lived in Chicago where it snows every year.
Well, that's because you're in Michigan.
But follow me where I'm going with this, okay? So I've lived in snow, driving in snow, and I've been down here in Florida driving in rain.
Mm-hmm.
The people driving in rain in Florida act like they're driving in Chicago on black ice. So ridiculous how people drive or the fact that people are afraid to drive in the rain. And we get a lot of those. A lot of people cancel their appointments with us because they are too afraid to drive in the rain.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, this is something to be said for I think it might be an attitude too. Younger people aren't being challenged. Now, I learned to drive similar to you. I learned to drive in New England. I learned to drive. My driver's ed course was in the wintertime at night.
Yep.
So I learned to drive in a New England winter at night, which was hysterical, right, on Boston roads. And you know those roads. And, of course, I always remember my driving instructor, Mr. Capazza. Mr. Capazza was the first one to talk to me about guns. And you wouldn't expect that in a driver's ed class, but I was curious. He mentioned guns about some casual comment. I said, well, guns are terrible. Guns are awful. He said, wait a minute. Let me talk to you about that. So we had this huge political discussion. And at the end of it, I concluded, you know what? He's absolutely right. And then I became a big gun fan. Of course, I couldn't do anything about it until I was still, 16. Oh, no, 17. I was flying airplanes before I could drive. So I was 17, taking driver's ed. But yeah, it was a great chat. But New England at night, you know, that's where I learned.
Yeah.
Snow at night. That's how I learned to drive. And rotaries. You want fun? Go race around a rotary when it's icy. Bounce off the snow.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's exciting. Yeah, I used to love stuff like that. Yeah.
We used to do that on purpose.
Well, that's what I did, too. I used to take my car, this big old blue Dodge, and take it to the high school parking lot after an icy rain, you know, when the parking lot was completely slicked up. And I would purposely bounce into the snowbanks, and I would skid the hell out of it. And I got really good. And it saved my life one day because I was going up a steep hill, and all of a sudden the traction gave out, and the car started sliding backwards. And here I am sliding backwards. So I did one of those.
Yep.
This is a true story, I swear to God. And so I did one of those rum runner turns, you know, where you hit the brakes and spin the wheel. And actually, the road was relatively wide, but not wide enough to turn around, obviously. But I actually, as I'm sliding downhill, I did one of those rum runner turns, hit the brakes really hard, spun the wheel. The car was actually pivoting. It was doing a 360 or 180 as I'm backing down. I ended up going forwards and managed to pump the brakes enough to stop before the bottom of the hill. That was hysterical. And it's only because I learned how to skid, because I practice it. And then, you know, and that stood me a good stead with flight training because, you know, I'd already soloed an airplane. We practice emergencies. So I practiced emergencies in a car. And then when I spun out in a rotary one day, you know, for real, I'm facing the traffic looking at me. I just wait. Hi, guys. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. People can't drive here. They can't. They're just.
Yeah.
Lean.
No. I take it, you know, you've made a good point, and I was brought up the same way where we took a whole semester. Our sophomore or junior year, depending on how our birthday fell, was driver's ed. It was a whole semester of driver's ed. Down here, you just get your permit and away you go.
Nah, stupid.
And so you, it's incredibly ignorant, and that's why we see what we see down here. You know, I see a lot more accidents here than I ever did, you know, per capita than versus Chicago. People are driving so much slower. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Actually,
yeah,
I
and
told
the outside
a lady
lanes
once,
too. Yeah, we have a famous Highway 90 here, for those who don't know, the Milton Pace area. Now, you're over in Escambia County, the next county over, but it's got all these dividers in the middle, and so people are constantly crossing lanes, and they'll go too slowly, so you got traffic coming down 55 to 65 miles an hour, and you've got somebody entering, you know, slowly. I mean, that is guaranteed to have accidents, because as I understand it...
Yeah, don't get me started on people turning. Yeah, people turning.
Oh. Yeah, and then not accelerating. It's insane.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, what I find funny is the two biggest culprits. So I understand it's a wide turn, but then Priuses.
Those, well, that's they're
both,
so arrogant they don't think anybody else should be on the road.
But they both turn so incredibly slow. I'm just ready to. I could actually walk.
Priuses.
Park my car, walk, and punch them in the face, and they still wouldn't have completed their turn.
See, Priuses are arrogant environmentalists usually. San Francisco was all Priuses for a while. But here's what's interesting. Yeah. Now, have you noticed, too, there's something else I do not understand. People, if they're making a left turn, they will turn to the right first and swing wide and then turn left.
Yes.
Why? Why do people do that?
Like
how do they learn that? Where does that come from? Just turn your wheel left.
I guess they're probably watching semi-trucks too much or something.
Well, yeah, it makes sense in a semi. Look, if you're an 18-wheeler with a 50-foot trailer behind you, of course you're going to swing wide there. I'm amazed those guys can even make a turn on a four-lane road. But they do.
Yeah.
But that's genius, right? They back up into tiny little spaces and into loading docks. And those guys are great. That's not my problem, but my problem is people that swing wide because they'll swing into your lane, you know, into the right lane to make a left turn or in the left lane to make a right turn. I guess they all hit their back tires one time. They cut it a little too close, and rather than learn how to make the turn properly, they're swinging wide. And now you got generations of people that are swinging into the other lane to make a turn when all they have to do is turn their wheel more.
What I think it is that they haven't connected their brain to their body movements. And that comes from a lack of sports. But, you know, because what I have seen a lot of times is people who will, like, look over their shoulder, you know, one of their shoulders, you know, into their blind spot. And while they're looking one way, their body automatically turns the wheel the opposite way.
Yeah, the wheel turns where you're looking.
It
just does. That's instinctive. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that, do we have, I always want to take one of those pro racing courses, those pro driver courses, because I think you're pretty good at it. I mean, I don't drive fast normally. People laugh at me, but I can drive fast. I have driven fast. I won't say exactly where or when in the interest of not incriminating myself, but I have had an old Dodge up to 120 miles an hour. I'm not going to say where or when, but it happened. Okay. And so I can drive fast. And I know it because the car lifted up. Anybody that knows when you go over 100 miles an hour in an old car, the air gets under it. It tends to rise. Okay. Yep. That's how I can prove that I did it. Because I was like, oh, this is interesting. We're floating. I better slow down. Anyway, but live to tell about it. But so that's my impetuous youth. And, you know, and I'll deny it if anybody asks me. But yeah. So, but people don't drive. They don't push their cars like we used to. We used to test ourselves, you know, like the skidding, like the things like that. But people are just weenies today. I mean, they really are. They won't do anything.
Yeah.
They're scared to come out of the house and, you know, be triggered or have their, you know, do something other than what's, you know, pre-approved by their electronic media. It's weird.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with the increase of anxiety in the world.
You think?
You know, people are being programmed to be afraid of every little thing.
Oh, that's true.
And I think that anything that's out of the norm is a subconscious trigger that it could be dangerous.
But we're the men.
I want to know. And honestly, the men seem to be worse than the women when it comes to driving in the rain.
Yeah, believe it. Well, you know, it's interesting because I've worked with young people, and the guys, I'll ask them, so what are your ambitions? What's going on? What's exciting? What's new? Oh, nothing, man. I'm just tired. I said, you're tired? I said, I'm three times your age. I could be your grandfather. You know, I said, I'm not tired. What's wrong with you people? You know, life is exciting. Every week I have a story. Something like yesterday, we had both Naomi Wolf and Alan Dershowitz cancel. We improvised the whole show. You know, so what? We just do it. Life goes on. You know, adapt, overcome. What did Clint Eastwood say the Marine thing is? Improvise, adapt, overcome. So we did.
I don't know.
We did just fine. Yeah. Josie was there. Pianos, he was there. We had a great time. Yeah, you know. But men are babies. Men are girls. Yeah, the girly man. Yeah, you know, as Arnold used to say and on Saturday Night Live, yeah, we're going to bump you up, you girly man. Sorry. A little reminiscing there.
So let's get into what happened yesterday with first of all, let's talk about Birch and McCarthy.
Yeah, let's go to over-testosterone problems. We've already covered under-testosterone. Now let's get over on our testicular Wednesday. I think it's kind of a theme now, though.
Maybe that Freudian slip was on purpose. Who knows?
Whatever it is, it seems to be a theme we're developing for the whole show. But it seems to work.
So
yeah, we've got over testicular and we've got under testicular. So we're going to cover both ends of the testicular spectrum. Yeah, this is our word today. I am Dr. Fred, the counselor to Dr. Wills. Go ahead, we're going to talk about good sex and bad sex and over testosterone. Anyway, I'm sorry.
All right, so I don't know if this is over testosterone or just very childish, immature behavior. But yesterday, Senator Birch from Tennessee was interviewing with NPR. Kevin McCarthy came walking past him and kind of nudged him with his elbow. And, you know, and as kids, I mean, now I don't know what their relationship is, but I remember as kids, we would do that all the time.
You know, of course.
You know, if a guy's talking to a girl or something, we kind of nudge him closer to the girl as we're walking by. You know, something along
no,
those
we just
lines.
Walk by the girl and say, thanks for last night. I mean, this is what we do.
Well, we weren't as bold, but
it was
marching band.
We had a different level of, you know.
Yeah, we were more about embarrassing the guy than, you know.
Well, that
would
embarrass the guy, especially if
the girl.
They wanted the girl. No, that was definitely embarrassing the guy. The girl knew we were kidding because we always did it with friends. You know, so anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So you know, he nudged him and he kept walking. And then Senator Birch says on air, you know, hey, what a jerk. That was the first words out of his mouth was what a jerk.
That's funny, though.
He turns around, chases down McCarthy, and the NPR reporter's following on foot. And
really?
The exchange was Birch telling McCarthy he called him a chicken. I'm sure he wanted to call him something else after that. But called him a chicken and, you know, and basically questioned why he felt it necessary to hit him with the elbow.
McCarthy hits Birch or nudges Birch with his elbow. Was it intentional?
You would have to say yes, because, you know, I mean, of course, I'm listening to the report on the radio. I didn't get to actually see the video on this.
That's NPR, right?
NPR.
All right.
So,
and going with our theme today, I'm going to call that National Penis Radio. Sorry.
Okay. So
an artistic report.
As you know with most reports,
right?
you know, I mean, anytime you have an interview, stuff like that, there's usually a big space. Or they may catch you when you're coming out the door, but you come to the side. So there, depending on where he was, there should have been enough space for McCarthy to walk by. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to side with McCarthy on this one, that this was an innocent prank, I'll call it, more or less, kind of like what we did in high school. That's why I'm calling it, you know, the immature behavior and not so much testicular behavior. Now our local representative, Matt Gaetz, has decided, and I keep calling him Senator Birch. It's actually Representative Birch. I apologize for that.
Well, I want to hear about Manly Matt Gaetz. What does Manly Matt Gaetz have to say about it?
So now he wants to file assault charges on McCarthy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Bad timing, Matt. Matt, you've already beaten McCarthy. Don't beat a dead horse. Okay, let him go. Let him alone. Let him walk away. He's only going to get violent and retaliate. Don't do that. And things come back to bite you. You know, it just does. You know?
It does. I mean, even as a joke, which I'm assuming Matt Gaetz said it as you know, tongue-in-cheek type of situation. But, you know, it's just not a good – the timing, you know, he didn't land the punchline.
Don't gloat over your victories.
It's
not good politics. Yeah.
So that
was
that.
Well, let me ask you about let me ask you about the speaker thing, because I post from the, you know, the Who song, Here Comes the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss. So I kind of borrowed that theme and said, here comes the new speaker, same as the old speaker. We've got a CR again. And I'm once again contemplating turning in my Republican voter registration, becoming independent again, because they disgust me yet again. And I promise they'd do that if they pass another CR. So I might have to just honor that and just go up into, you know, go see Tappy. Tappy Villain is our elections person. Say, hey, Tappy, it's me again. Oh, Greg, what are you going to do? Well, time to be independent again. Oh, Greg. Anyway, go ahead.
So I'm going to disagree with you. I think that we're finally making proper strides. Now, it is baby steps, and it's not the sledgehammer that you want.
Yeah, from babies.
So what the new bill that they're trying to pass right now will have huge ramifications going in the future. And that is basically changing the way funding is in the government. And
you mean going back to appropriations bills? I mean going back to appropriations bills. That's not a change forward. That's a change back. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's actually in the House rules.
Well,
they have to have
back.
Appropriations bills.
I just said they're changing. And the change is – what the change is that you know each department won't get funded in October. One of them may get funded in – April, one may get in June. And that way, yes. And so that turns into more of a line item veto type of situation. Much better. You know, I think it'll take some a different mentality of Congress to work that all out. But it definitely has.
This is actually very smart.
This is.
I didn't know about this. This is a good idea, because what it'll do is make the budget process constant. So the government will never shut down. There won't be that pressure to pass everything, because, you know, you might lose a department this month. Well, you make them up next month. The pressure will be to get that department funded, but it won't be to get the whole government funded. So they can't use this ridiculous excuse. And ever since the first shutdown, I think during Obama, when he blamed the Republicans for it, they've been terrified of a government shutdown that isn't a shutdown. We all know it's not a shutdown, but everybody lies that it is a shutdown. But almost everything keeps going anyway, except for the borrowing, which they have to do on their own. But, you know, so, yeah, this might not be a bad idea, but I still don't like the idea of a CR. Why didn't they do that this time? What was the holdup this time? New speaker?
Well, yeah, I mean this just got presented this week, so I think that they're supposed to be voting on it this week or maybe next week if I'm not. So, but the idea is the right idea. I think they're heading in the right direction. But, you know, it's a mentality. When you have a bunch of old dogs, you know, it's hard to teach them new tricks.
I don't want to teach them new tricks. I want them out to pasture. I want them in that kennel, you know, watching the sunset. You know, like Brandon. Brandon Obama needs to be on the porch watching sunsets. Speaking of Brandon Obama, do you see the title of the show today? I got a little bit extreme in my view here. It's called APEC, which is the Asian Pacific Economic Conference, SF. Xi Jinping instructs Brandon Obama. Yes, master. That's the title of the show today.
Well, you know, since we only have a few minutes left, let's talk about that
left.
Real quickly.
You got 10
minutes.
Yeah,
well, I'm probably going to have to cut you short here, because I got someone standing at my front door waiting on me.
Are they tapping their feet? Are they tapping their feet yet?
He will eventually.
Okay, when that happens, then keep talking. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, exactly. So it wasn't it quite amazing how nice San Francisco looked this week?
Well, I haven't seen, but we got Bianca on later on, and she's in San Francisco, so we're going to get the full report. But apparently it looks beautiful. so the poop is gone, the homeless are gone, the needles are off the streets. What's happening? Did the street cleaners went through the tenderloin? What happened?
They just did a clean sweep and cleaned up everything along the parade route of the Chinese president. And so
he's getting a parade.
Well, okay, not a parade, but you know he has to make it from the airport to where they meet. And from their hotel, so all that is blocked off. So it's kind of
Bianca told us about that last week. It's the Moscone Center, which is the worst place to hold a conference because it's surrounded by half of San Francisco. it's the whole South of Market area, and it jams up badly with traffic. And now it's going to be worse. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so so I call it parade, but it's very similar to Beijing did during the Olympics, where they. For three blocks around all the Olympic centers, it looked beautiful. Mm-hmm. But they built huge walls to block so people couldn't see all the slums and the scum on the other side of the wall. So on TV it looked really nice, but then anytime a reporter tried to shoot over the wall, trying to block the feed.
They were taking away cameras. Yeah, I watched that. I remember that reporter in particular had a movie camera or a video camera, and they basically took the camera. Oh, yeah. That's like, have you ever seen the Taj Mahal? Picture of the Taj Mahal is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Right?
Same thing.
Look like half a mile away from it. It's a total slum.
Yep. It is.
Yeah, and so it looks so deceiving. That's why when I went to East Berlin and crossed the Berlin Wall back in 1982, they had the Karl Marx Platz, which is their little showpiece. It's kind of like, communist Disneyland. And it was like an amusement park kind of thing. And then and that's what most people saw. Oh, communism's not so bad. Well, I walked 10 miles into the city and I saw everything. I saw what communism really looks like. Once you get beyond the show place, it's a very different, completely different environment. Yeah. So I understand.
Exactly.
Anyway. How's your
but
toe
Greg,
tapper
he
up
is
front?
Tapping his foot, so I do have to go earn my dollar for today. And I will be back in 2 weeks with another report. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because we got Thanksgiving next week. And next week's Wednesday show, I have to delay an hour to get Dr. Brian Artis on. So sometimes I'll do that for very special guests. Have a great Thanksgiving, Bill. Talk to you later if you want to call in. Thanksgiving is not a definite show, but I'm trying to get a bunch of reporters to call in. If I get enough, we'll call in. We'll have a free-for-all. All right, sir.
Sounds great.
All right. See you later. Get the toe tapper. Well, anyway, what I might do at this particular point, as Wednesdays are just jammed with people, let me get all my critical information in at this time. What is it now? 7:23. Wendy's going to call in a few minutes, but this way I won't have to take a break later on in the show. Here is your Action Radio contact and website information. The call-in line is 215-383-3832. Our show site is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Same link, live and a podcast. Please share all our shows. We have live chat at the bottom of the broadcast page available worldwide. Sign in to your free account and type away. We have an internet Skype line where you can call the show worldwide also. Please see the broadcast page for our Skype name. Call in during the show to get approved. Our bill writing site is writeyourlaws.com, WriteYourLaws, writeyourlaws.com. This is where anyone can write a bill and start the process of it becoming law. My paid and free subscription column is at gregpenglis.substack.com. Please consider a paid subscription of $5 per month or greater. For contributions to Action Radio, please go to givesendgo.com/actionradio. We have over 20 Action Radio Facebook groups. Use the Facebook search window by putting in Action Radio to find our groups. My public email is greg@writeyourlaws.com. Please contact me about advertising on Action Radio and helping our mission of freedom. Thank you for listening. This is Greg Penglis for Strike Force, your source for pure energy. Strike Force is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. You make your energy drink yourself. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strike Force, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code WYL to the discount code window at checkout. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strike Force is at StrikeForceEnergy.com. That's StrikeForceEnergy.com. Start your engine. Do you know your way around healthcare, insurance, pharmacies, surgery, alternative treatments and choices? I don't. Which is why I'm so glad I met Priscilla Romans, had her on Action Radio, and learned about health patient advocacy. She is the founder of Great Care. And now as an affiliate of Great Care, we are proud to offer through our discount code, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws, a 10% discount. Grace Care saves you both time and money. They provide medical advocacy, consultation, advice, and recommendations nationwide. Their website is gracecare.com. That's G-R-A-I-T-H-care.com. You can email them at gracecare.adm@gmail.com or call them at 469-864-7149. That's 469-864-7149. Great Care, better health through better knowledge and advocacy. This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system. You are listening to Action Radio Online with Greg Penglis. The webpage for all Action Radio shows and podcasts is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Please share our show with all your friends and family, both nationally and internationally. The guiding principle of Action Radio is this: we the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed. Radio. Dangerously cool. Okay, we're back, and I've got Wendy going to be checking in here in just a minute, and we'll get to her. So, yeah, Wednesdays, I never get a chance to play things till the end, so it's kind of interesting this time. In fact, I may get, I don't know if Wendy's heard our Action Radio Diversity Workshop. It's my latest satire piece, and I intend to write a whole bunch more of them. But Bill's absolutely right about what's going on. In fact, John's on the line. He might appreciate this, too, from the Women's Firearm Academy. He does a Friday report at 8:30, although I think I might just combine him, and Candy, who does the Black Mama Bear gun report, into like a group report, because they're both so good together. It's great. Anyway, so we did a show on dueling. And I think I'm going to bring it back. Well, at least I'll put it on my Facebook page. But we actually did. We seriously considered dueling because we got such girly men in office right now. They don't fight. They don't argue. They don't do anything. And now the testosterone has got a little bit overboard, and some of the Republicans are actually picking fights with each other. It's like, you idiots, don't fight with each other. Fight with the Democrats, but don't physically fight them, because they'll just go cry and run home to mommy and claim, you know, racism. So you can't do that. But verbally, you know, fight them and challenge them. And I'm really disgusted that this CR, this continuing resolution, which basically funds the illegal Brandon Obama insurrection, you know, for another however many months this one does while they're getting their act together. I understand why Mike Johnson did it. I don't like it. I wish he had just cut picked a continuing resolution from, I don't know, 3 years ago. You know, fun things like that, or at least, you know, a couple of years ago, so the funding levels are way down. Pre-COVID, pick a pre-COVID continuing resolution and do that. They could have done that. That would have been better. But this is basically, as Marjorie Taylor Greene says, Nancy Pelosi's budget continuing. I discussed it. And so it reminded me of the Who song, which is why I post this on Facebook. You know, here comes the new boss, same as the old boss. You know, that song, right? Don't Get Fooled Again? Oh, by the way, I've learned to play. Oh, that's what I should. I started to make a series of guitar videos. So if you go to my YouTube channel, Greg Penglis, you'll see it's not political. I'm doing a series on improvising. And I think I've got to do that. I've got to do when I do the Who song. I actually have found a way to simulate the synthesizer at the beginning. Do, 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 do. You know that part, right? And so it's a synthesizer. And I actually do it on the guitar. Manually, finger picking, hybrid picking. So for those musicians, you might want to take a look at that. Anyway, so the fighting that's going on, they're misdirecting, they're doing all kinds of things. But I, you know, back at the time, back in the 1700s, and even earlier in Europe, where they didn't have computers, you know, anybody can forge a signature. You know, the only thing you had was your word, and your word was your bond. And if you ever, you know, gave your word and broke your word, nobody would ever trust you again. But they had a code of honor, really strong code of honor. This is something you might want to take up, John, I know you're listening. We might want to take this up Friday. But they had dueling. And everybody thinks, oh, that's disgusting, you know. And with pistols, it is disgusting. I mean, Alexander Hamilton was killed by Aaron Burr. You know, one lucky shot, he's dead. Swords, you know, and I'm not in favor of killing people in dueling. But if you really believe in your convictions, if you really believe in your convictions and you're willing to face somebody with a sword that can kill each other, you know, and don't go, you know, you don't want to go to the death, but first cut. Okay. So if you're willing to stand, you know, if you believe in your thing, your argument strongly enough that you're willing to stand there toe to toe with somebody with a sword, you know, where you can each kill each other, you know, and like I say, if you maintain your distance, you know, you're going to be okay. Swords can only go to the length of your arm, but you know, there's stuff that happens anyway. I did some college, actually quite a bit of college fencing. So I know a little bit about swords, not a whole lot, but I know enough. Anyway, the point is that duel, if you're willing to face your opponent in a duel, you know, you better feel pretty strongly about what you're saying. And so in many ways, I think that would be fascinating to, I know the women would do it. Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Yeah, they'd duel with a Democrat. I mean, that'd be hysterical. In fact, you know, they have this nice little softball or no, they actually have a baseball game. So the Republicans and the Democrats do a baseball game. What they really need is a fencing match. That'd be much more fun. I'm in a silly mood today. Like I said, we got Thanksgiving next week, and we'll see what happens. But right now, I'm disgusted with the Republicans. Like I say, I understand doing a CR, but I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And so here comes the new speaker, same as the old speaker. Let's get to Wendy.
Here we go. Do you really want the truth? Do you have questions you can't ask in church? Welcome to the Oh My God Report. Wendy Arthur is more concerned with truth than propaganda, putting more value in scripture than religion, and more about you and your relationship with God than your membership in any church. This is Christianity with a Kick.
Hey, Wendy, did you ever hear our new Action Radio Diversity Workshop?
No.
Would you like to? Or do you have a jam-packed half hour?
Please, I how can I go through life missing this? I have to know.
It's going to be one of those days, I can tell. You put Bill and Wendy together. I was listening to the first 5 minutes with Bill. He cracked me up. He misspoke, and I capitalized on it in a way that I really don't want to say again. You've got to listen to it. It was pretty funny. Let me see, where did I put my diversity workshop? Ah, here we go. So, yeah, just sit back and listen and tell me what you think. Hello there. At Action Radio, we have noticed that the Brandon Obama occupation coup has been replacing the entire federal government with black women, preferably lesbian black women, Kareem Abdul-Jean-Pierre Skyhook being the most prominent example. This is hardly diversity, equity, or inclusion. It's exactly the opposite. We, however, at Action Radio are undeterred by this massive segregation. So to redress our grievance against the race regime, we have come up with our own program to achieve balance once again. We call it the Action Radio Diversity Workshop. With just a few minor changes from standard DEI lesson plans and curricula, everyone should be able to adapt to our course right away. So, here we go. All the instructors are white men. Black participants have to go in whiteface for the duration of the class. Outside of class exercises in whiteface will include applying for a job at the post office, making a civil rights claim, taking a scholastic exam, and finally being accused of white supremacy. Women, as an outside exercise, will have to apply for government contracts and college scholarships while identifying as a white man with a picture of a white guy on your application. All trans folks will have to trans back just to see what they gave up. LGBTQ folks for our lab assignment will be encouraged to have sex with someone of the opposite sex, and since there is only one opposite, this should make your choice easier. Class charges for black and Hispanic students will be $500 per student, most of which will be distributed back to the white and Asian students as reparations for affirmative action. Illegal aliens in the class will be identified in the citizenship check and will have their assets seized, and their illegal children born in the U.S. will have their citizenship corrected back to that of their parents, and then they can leave the country. Oh, and their requirement to take this class will then be waived. This workshop will be taught in standard English. All materials will be presented in English, and your personal pronouns are I and me. Women will be referred to as she, men as he, and two or more people only as we, if you know them, and they, if you do not. Card-carrying members of the Democrat Party will be brought to the front of the class, where they will be accused of racism for keeping black Americans on a plantation, extortion for creating wokeness, and will have to drink Black Rifle coffee, have a lunch from My Patriot Supply, and nap on my pillows. Shooting class in the afternoon will include all of the misnamed assault weapons, including the AR-15 and the AK-47, which you will call Freedom Rifles. And yes, this is a graduation requirement. All students will be required to recite these truths at the beginning of each hour. White lives matter. George Floyd was killed by a drug overdose. Affirmative action is racism. Diversity only exists with divergent opinions. There are only two sexes. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Marriage is not a right. It is a contract. Electric cars are terrible for the environment. We need carbon dioxide replacement in the atmosphere, so I want a V8 pickup truck. January 6th was a deep state coup. The 2020 election was stolen. American citizenship comes from an American parent not being born on U.S. dirt. Climate change is a hoax. Guns are essential to freedom. The COVID vaccine is not safe and effective. Government experts are morons. Government education is indoctrination. God is the source of your rights by birthright. And finally, we are all Americans, except for the illegals. So as the final lesson of the Action Radio Diversity Workshop, people will go to our barbecue, where they will watch on the big viewing screens Charlton Heston biblical epics and John Wayne films. The Action Radio Diversity Workshop, your passport back to a sane, logical, and truly equal America, available every weekday at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. And that was the first take too. I mean, I just rolled all of it out and just set it to the music, and that's how it came out.
Send every woke person in America and across the world in 30 seconds or less.
Actually, it was 4 minutes, but I think you're right, though. That was truly inclusive.
Yeah, it was. It included absolutely everybody who could possibly, you know, start
okay,
their
done.
Day with, you know, shooting coffee out their nose. And
I don't have to do another satire piece. That pretty much covers everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Before you go today, I'll play the Christmas greeting I made 3 years ago, so that was kind of interesting, too. So, your turn. I'm done. I'm just going to listen now.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's funny that you start off with that, because we were going to talk about peace and what that really means.
Oh, let's do that.
Now
that we've introduced our topic. Yeah.
Such an ironic intro to this little topic. It's actually a pretty big topic, because, you know, people who are not at peace are not happy unless they agitate and bring chaos everywhere.
that's very true.
You know,
misery loves company.
True.
Narcissists aren't happy unless they're destroying somebody else's life, and because their lives will never be happy. And as I call them, empty black holes of eternal selfishness. That's how I describe them. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah. Well, yes. And it's Not that misery loves company. Misery loves miserable company. Misery hates happy company. So, think about that. Let that sink in, folks.
No, it's true. No, I agree.
And so it's the reason that God tells us over and over and over, be at peace, be at peace, be at peace. Let rest, peace rest upon this place. And if they don't, if there's not peace in the house and they do not bless you, do not leave your peace there. Okay? It's like peace is something that you can actually give and leave places. Mm-hmm. So that means the opposite is true as well. So people can bring in chaos and leave chaos there in their wake, when they leave. So it's really important that we do a self-check and see where we are. Because if you have no peace inside, then you are literally running around with anxiety and chaos and strife and drama and all the crud that nobody wants to be dealing with, and because it's you bringing it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly.
Now,
I think of several work situations where we have a really good crew and everything's fine, but there's one person that nobody likes that screws it up for absolutely everybody. And every time they're there, it's terrible. Everybody's in a bad mood. Nothing gets done. Whereas if any one of the decent
there's
people
always
missing,
one.
Still carry on. There's always one. It's crazy. And they draw all the attention themselves. They cause all the problems. They try to make everybody else, the ones who are actually the problem when it's them. And you just wish they go away. It's like, boss, get rid of this person. They're making everybody else miserable. Move them somewhere else. Move them to Greenland. Find an operation there. Get them out of the company. But it's crazy that how much impact one negative person can have on an entire group of positive people. It's terrible.
It is terrible. So, let's all take a moment today to examine ourselves. If we're all in a room and there's that one person that's negative in the room and bringing chaos and drama and strife and contention and arguments and everything else, is it you? check yourself. Is it me doing this? Because if everybody else seems to be fine, and if you walk into a room and everything looks fine and you find it boring and you just feel like it just needs to be stirred up and get some chaos in there, check the spirit, okay? Because that's not of God. And when he says peace, do what?
I said, now you tell me.
Oh, here's the thing.
Don't ask.
Our Western idea of peace means lack of conflict.
Oh.
That's not what the biblical definition of peace is.
Right.
Okay. So in the Jewish community, I love how they do that, because it's shalom, or shalom as they call it, is what we would define as peace, but that's not what it means in the Hebrew. And so Jesus was a Jew, he was a Jewish rabbi. When he said shalom to somebody or peace to somebody, it wasn't what we think here in the Western culture of what peace is. He's not saying, may you have lack of war, okay?
or lack of conflict. Oh, okay,
yeah,
this is
that's
interesting.
That's not what he's saying.
Need the rabbi. We need like a rabbi from Brooklyn to come on the show and explain this to us. So it'd be a great thing. Then we go to the deli and we have some gefilte fish. Go ahead. Tell me what the interpretation would be. I'm sorry. I'm in a silly mood today. But no, seriously, though.
Okay.
This makes a lot of sense, though, because the people run from conflict and they actually lose peace, which is probably where you're going with this, that the lack of conflict can actually create far more disturbance and war. Because you're avoiding conflict so much, you're not dealing, you're not creating peace, you're avoiding conflict, and it doesn't have the desired effect. Would that be right?
Well, could be an offshoot of it, but when God is saying shalom or be at peace, he's talking about, because shalom is translated as make it good or shall surely pay or make full restitution or to restore, so to make something whole, in other words. So if if someone had something stolen from them,
mm-hmm.
The person had to not only restore the thing stolen, but they had to restore the well-being of the person's mind that they could forgive them and have peace with them again. So it's not just the things that were stolen. It was the peace of mind. It was the trust relationship. It was all these things because the soul was disturbed. There was not peace in the soul. So you have to make all of that right with somebody. So it just wasn't the practical restoration of things that were stolen. It was the overall sense of fullness and completeness in mind, body, and their estate.
Like Western thought doesn't think of property as value. It's like if someone steals your brand new beautiful TV, you know, they say, well, it's only TV set, it's only property. So wait a minute, you know, I worked how many hours for that? I've looked forward to that for so long, you know, and they don't value property as it's only the property itself, the dollars and cents for what it's worth, as opposed to what it means to you. Or like if someone steals a family heirloom or you know, breaks a chair that's been in the family for 300 years, that's only a chair. No, it's not. It's 300 years of family history. And there's people don't value property in making you whole. And they sort of disregard that. And I think that's at our peril, because we lose our sense. And if you're gonna make somebody whole for stealing stuff, then this is a lot better way of doing it. And we should hopefully reduce the idea that it's just property, it doesn't matter. That's how we get this massive shoplifting. Well, it's not yours, it's the company's. Who cares? Well,
right.
There's a lot more
right.
to it than that. Yeah, it's not that simple. Yeah.
Right.
Huh.
Well, and depending on how shalom is used, or shalom, however people want to pronounce it, whatever part of the world you're in, but it also incorporates the well-being of your health. So it's not just your mental state, your emotional state, your material possession state is also about your health. So it's like this all-encompassing peace and well-being and being made whole to every part of your life. So I love the actual meaning of shalom and what that really means. And I really wish that here in the Western culture, we would incorporate all of that. But because we are... our language is not near as full as Hebrew.
What would be the equivalent, though, if we had to come up with an English expression equivalent to shalom? What would it be? Putting you on the spot as I do.
Well, it would probably may you be. You couldn't just reduce it to one word. You know,
I wouldn't. May you be whole in all things.
So
may your life be blessed and
be
whole. I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
May you be full of well-being and health, and may prosperity in every area of your life be upon you. That's what it would be.
Yeah, shalom's a lot shorter. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You know, so like,
now,
may you lack nothing, in other words.
Now, are modern-day Jews conscious of the full meaning of this word? Because I've never heard this explained before, and I'm wondering, I've had Jewish friends since high school, since, half the band would be off during Jewish holidays, and this never came up. I mean, it would say shalom, but, I mean, is this taught in Jewish synagogues and temples? Is this passed down through families what this word means? Because you don't hear this very often. Well, I've never heard it. I'm just curious.
If they're practicing Jews, they would know. If they're brought up in synagogue and all that stuff, then they would understand that. But so many people are not anymore. You know, the Jewish faith is just as watered down as Christianity is today. And because they just don't, the younger generations don't see the importance of keeping the teachings and the traditions and the real meanings of things, So it's kind of like we use letters for entire phrases now, like when you're texting. You don't get the full thing written out anymore. You just get these little letters, and you just kind of, your brain says, well, I know that I-I-K are. I know, right? You know, okay, well.
I don't do well with those things. Took me a while to figure out WTF, for example, but I did.
Yeah, okay. And what the fluff? So there's, it's just important
the front door.
To understand.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, to really understand the full meaning of things, and don't let that get lost, because it means so much more. And in modern Hebrew, you know, they don't use shalom anymore as a meaning. You know, the older people do, but the younger generation is mashlamka, which
mashlamka?
Has shalom in there, but it, and they're saying, how are you? But it literally means, how is your completeness? Or how is your peace?
Huh.
So
yeah, there's so much.
It's
like how the commandments get screwed up, too. You know, the difference between thou shalt kill and thou shalt, or thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not murder. You know, completely different meanings. I mean, shalom is much more, much deeper meaning than I thought. But I was wondering about that because you don't hear about younger generations. Well, I think, you know, it's like people as they get older, they sort of see more of their mortality, and they see more of, you know, how much time you have left to do stuff. And it's a different sense, and you see your place. And there's almost, we've talked about this before. It's kind of like a soul body separation, where you can see your body, you know, ending at some point, and your soul continues. And until you realize that, I don't think people really see the significance of God and religion and, you know, all these things in our lives directly. Because kids, they don't see that. They don't have that separation yet. They don't. They're not as conscious or self-aware. And so I understand that, but that doesn't mean we don't teach them. And the value of words, you know, I use words here. I was just reading something. Who was it? Naomi Wolf, who was supposed to be on the show yesterday, along with Alan Dershowitz, who was supposed to be on the show yesterday. It was quite a day. We improvised the whole show. It was great. Anyway, but Naomi was talking about the power of language, and I use language all the time. You know, if you say GOP, you know, and then I say, oh yeah, Gelding Old Party, that's a completely different meaning. You know, assault rifle or freedom weapon, completely different meanings. You know, rhino versus transgender Democrat, completely different meanings. So language is powerful. And if people don't, and I say this jokingly, but I do these things all the time. But if you don't understand the true meaning of words, and they don't, people don't, they're texting, they've devalued punctuation, they've devalued spelling, they've devalued everything. And the language is rich. English is an incredibly rich language. And it's easy to screw up too, because like 10 words can mean sort of the same thing maybe, but if you really know your words, the subtleties and nuances, you're going to use different words for different situations. Same thing with religious words, you know, words out of the Bible, out of scripture. I don't see them as the same thing. It's kind of interesting, but yeah. Huh. Makes sense.
So peace is very important, you know, not just the absence of war, but the inner peace and well-being of every area of your life. And so when somebody says, you know, shalom to you, it is so much deeper. They are wishing you well-being in absolutely every area, and nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. So I would really ask everybody, I'm seriously, you know, I mentioned it at the top of the show, but take a moment today. Do you have that peace that God is talking about? Do you have that? Because that's his peace. That's not the kind of peace the world gives, right? That's his peace. And he's saying that you can have that. If you are missing that kind of peace in your life inside, where everything is made whole and restored, then he's the one that can give it to you. So I'm just saying, do a little inventory control. If you don't have it, go ask God for it. And, you know, you just say, Jesus, I need this. I need this. I want this. Matter of fact, the whole world needs this right now. We really, really need to be at peace. And that's the kind of thing that gets you through the crazy stuff that's fixing to happen.
You know, and having been on both sides of that fence, it's really interesting when things used to bother me, and things still happen, but they don't bother me, you know. And I've talked about being desperately poor, and I've had, you know, a few cans of food this week, and I have to, you know, be really careful. And I was like, I'm okay. You know, I mean, and I've been completely broke. And it's like, it's okay. You know, I mean, I'm going to have enough. It doesn't matter. This is going to go on. Action Radio is going to go on. I'm going to go on. I've got a mission. There's something I have to do. Actually, a lot of things I have to do. It's going to be fine. You know, I remember when my car was broken and I couldn't work and, you know, and things were really bad. But they were
that
never.
Was
it was tough. But I'm, you know, but I wasn't worried about it. I said, okay, I'm going to get
right.
through this. Life's, you know, and I don't think you can be truly fearless without God. If it's just you, there's a lot of things to be afraid of. But if it's you and God, then there's no real reason to be afraid. And it doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen or you're not going to have struggles or conflicts, which leads to my question. Can you have peace without conflict or at least have gone through conflict? Peace seems to me a resolution state. It is not an initiated state. So you have to get to peace. And that might be conflict with family, might be conflict with yourself, conflict, you know, job conflict, morals conflict, you know, relationship conflict. But you cannot be truly at peace until you've resolved a bunch of stuff. Now, is that in scripture or is that just me with an idea?
Well, I love the scripture that says, may peace overtake you. And what that actually means is, it says in several places, but if you look up the word peace, it depends on how it's used in the sentence, just like in Greek. But mm-hmm. it's talking about where it is possible with you, as long as it is relying upon you, be at peace with all men. Mm-hmm. If you can, right? I mean, that's the goal, is to be able to get along and make sure everybody is taken care of and everybody's doing well. But there's always that one, right? And so the way...
Negative Nelly.
There is the idea of having peace is chase it down and take it by force if necessary. That's the actual thing when it says, you know, to when it's all possible, if it's up to you, you know, be at peace with all men. But so he's saying that if you have to use force to get peace, do it. That's why
well,
we
that
have militaries.
But that kind of explains our Israeli-Hamas conflict right now. And I find it very strange, and I post this on Facebook, that nobody's called for Hamas to you know, pay restitution or admit guilt or renounce terrorism or anything. They're okay. I mean, they're like the,
or,
they're like
or
the victims, even though they're the perpetrators.
That kidnapped, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the hostages,
you know, and
that they still have.
Yeah, yeah, and all this kind of stuff. And there was a guy that just did a video. In fact, I saw it on One American News, and I found it on another Facebook page. It's an Israeli soldier who's going into – he goes down the tunnel into Gaza from Israel, comes up in a hospital, and in the basement there's all these rocket-propelled grenades and Kalashnikov AK-47s and all this other stuff. So interesting hospital equipment, yeah. And he's like,
yeah,
but we don't –
yeah,
do
okay.
I got to do a better Jewish accent. I'll work on it. But anyway, but there he is. Yeah, it's hysterical. And it just proves the lie over and over again. And these idiots that are out there, you know, protesting, they're dangerously protesting, you know, that Israel is an occupied country. That's why it was interesting that you saw the coin post, right, where they had a coin from 1,700 years ago or something like that. Yeah, yeah. And then I just posted Barry Shaw from Israel, who is one of the few people that can post directly on any of our pages, is on the Action Radio International News Group, because he's posting about Israel all the time because he's there. So, you know, pretty good source.
Right.
But it's interesting. Did you see the post he made? And this is fascinating. It looks like I got Bonnie on the line, so I'll bring her on in a second. But did you see the post that talked about what – there's a video of what Gaza used to look like. Gaza was beautiful.
No,
yeah. I mean, it was paradise.
Oh,
it looked like Miami Beach. You know, and
well,
then these –
it was all along the shore, yeah.
Yeah. Idiots, why'd they give that up? So talk about, you know, so here's a shalom. Here's a good shalom question. I'm going to make Bonnie live, then I'll play her theme in a bit. But the idea of giving up land for peace, knowing full well that you're not going to get peace and you're going to lose land, that's not shalom. That's not making you whole. That's actually doing something you know isn't going to work for whatever kind of pressure. That's out of weakness. Because they knew it was going to happen. They knew it was going to be destroyed. There are no Palestinians. They're just Ottoman refugees who are calling themselves Palestinians, which is fine. Call themselves whatever they want, but they can't live in Israel and be terrorists and try to kill Israelis. You know, I mean, my position is pretty clear on this. But how does that fit into shalom, to the idea of making whole when they gave away something that was of incredible value to them for no reason, and it got destroyed, and they're being killed from the very place they gave away? So they're not
They are. And
they're not following go ahead.
Well, they're not, because you know, then you get once everybody joined the UN, that was a major mistake, because the whole point of the UN was to wipe out Israel anyway, and to control all of the nations, you know, the United Nations. No, it means global control. That's what that means. It should be the GT or the GC instead of, you know, the UN. The whole goal is to control all governments of the world, and you will do as we say. So it's these, and then so now every country is just a small mirror entity of that.
It's
and
a state,
so when
not
Israel
a nation anymore.
Is trying to do what?
It's a state, not a nation. And people talk about the two-state solution. It's like, no, you've got one non-state and one nation. There is no two states.
That's
here.
Exactly right. That's right. So, yeah,
language
no,
again.
That's all a lie. It's all propaganda. And they're trying to force Israel to do things that are for their own destruction and demise, and they know that. They just had to do it, you know, little steps at a time, just like they've been doing for hundreds of years now. but... Yeah, so everybody being against Israel is nothing new. It's been from the beginning. And people can, you know, spout whatever history book that they want to learn out of. But if it doesn't match up with God's word, it's just not the truth. So, you know, deal with that, because God's going to be the one who defends Israel even when everybody turns their back on Israel, including the United States in a future time.
Well, it's interesting that Barry posted a map of I guess, biblical, scriptural Israel. And it's very different than what we see today. And was that part of the UN
very
to
different.
Shrink Israel way down? I mean, Israel was supposed to include what is now Jordan. It was supposed to be a whole lot bigger.
Yes. Well, and Jordan's been mentioned in scripture since the beginning. So, you know, and just because scripture wasn't in the form of the Bible as we know it today, it was taken from all of the scrolls that were, you know, literally written on papyrus for, you know, I mean, just
yeah.
You know, way back, you know, look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, that predates the Bible, you know, hundreds and thousands of years. So not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds of years and thousands of years, but that it just predates it. But this is what our Bible has come from, is those original scrolls. So you have to understand, it's not, you know, the leather bound King James version that we're looking at today. You know, that this is the history and the true word of the Lord that was written down, and we are so fortunate to have it today. So you can't discount it because it's now, you know, looks like a book, and say that it's just, you know, not didn't really happen. It did. So, but you know, that's, everybody has their own choices to make. You know, we can't force anybody. God's not going to force you. And anybody who does try to force you is not, you know, operating in the spirit of God. So, you know, just be at peace, people. Just be at peace with God, be at peace with your fellow man, you know, as much as it's up to you. And if you have to set boundaries to get peace in your house, or peace in your life, do it. There's nothing wrong with boundaries. You know, God set them. We should.
Yeah, active peace, not passive peace. That's probably the problem. Bonnie, you got a comment for Wendy before I get to your report?
No, I agree wholeheartedly with Wendy, as I most often do.
Okay.
Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Wendy.
That may change with the report that follows you. Yeah. Who hasn't had coffee?
What's that?
Wendy?
Oh. I've had coffee, but I actually came down with my daughter's cold, so I sound a little rough around the edges today.
Oh, no. Well,
everybody's getting sick. What is it with you people?
With,
I used to get my daughter's cold.
In your body. In Jesus' name,
yes.
And total restoration and health. Shalom to you.
Thank you. Amen.
Yeah.
Shalom to yours as well.
Thank you.
You need some singles for staying shalom. You need like the chicken soup. You know, the bone marrow from the chicken. It's got the immunity properties, says my rabbi from Brooklyn. You got to take up the chicken soup, you'll be fine.
Right. You know, chicken soup is known as Jewish penicillin. So just letting you know.
That's no, it actually does work. It's bone marrow of the chicken. It's the bone marrow in the broth.
Yeah.
It actually has medicinal properties.
Yeah.
It's real. Chicken soup really does work.
That's right.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yep,
okay. Well, I will make room for Bonnie's report here. Looking forward to it. And as usual, and if anybody needs to get in touch with me, you need to contact me on Facebook, Wendy Arthur, Wendy Arthur, or Dimensions Ministries. And I have a new page up for those who are into art, and that's Dimensions Gallery. We are working on that now, so you can find us there. And as always, bow now, avoid the rush.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye.
Who is that woman behind the microphone? What stories does she have for us? Secluded in a small radio studio in a secure location, Bonnie Nesbitt presents the news of the week, and then presents not the news of the week. So join us now for The B Word with Bonnie Nesbitt. Oh, and I had so many questions for you this week, too, and I've completely forgotten them. So tell me.
Oh.
Tell me what have you been thinking?
Well, I know I have not forgotten the many questions as we've been discussing them, but I do want to touch on the first story that came up, especially this morning. There was a record gathering at the Capitol for pro-Israel. We keep hearing pro-Palestinian.
We should talk about that.
So the fact that we had, pro-Israel supporters, 290,000 people showed up at this rally. It is the largest gathering since, I believe, 1987, when 250,000 people gathered against the Soviet Jewism that was going on to support Jews in that.
So is this the largest Jewish gathering? Or it's not the largest gathering on the Capitol, although we've had...
It's the largest pro-Israel gathering. It's the largest pro-Israel gathering.
So 300,000 people, that's a lot. That's for Washington, because a lot of people had to travel. Have they broken down international visitors versus all around the country visitors? Who came to this?
No.
I'm curious.
Not that I've seen. I have not seen statistics on breaking it down. I could dig into it a little bit more and find out. But what I do find interesting is the fact that if you compare and contrast, just like so often we would see BLM gatherings being violent because of Antifa and some of the other people involved, these pro-Israel supporting people, they are not tearing down statues. They are not committing any violence. They are flying American flags. There's no bigotry and racism involved. It is a unification of people in a beautiful message of unity and love and support. And it just goes to speak volumes on the contrast between the left and the right, and good and evil, if you will, because everything that's in them to support Israel is a message of love, and everything that is in pro-Palestinian is a message of straight up violence and hatred. It is the polar opposite, and we see this so often. But I hope that more people are motivated and comforted, if you will, by the fact that we are still standing for Israel in this grand number of people that are showing up at our capital to support them. We should feel justified in saying we do support Israel and not cower in our corners and say, no, let's just, that's their country, let them do their own thing. No, we should feel empowered.
Yeah, too often we don't break stories down into good and evil because people are afraid of that. That's judgmental. I'm like, well, try getting through the day without judgment. Do you have a second cup of coffee or not?
Exactly.
That's a judgment. Okay. So everything is a judgment.
Yeah.
So let's get over this pretense and this, basically BS that we're not judgmental, because without being judgmental, that means you're not making choices. You're not living. So good and evil. Israel's good. Hamas is evil. It's very clear to me.
Correct.
And I think that the left always tries to put things in gray area. Well, it's not really the case. We don't really have two genders. Marriage is a fluid concept. Give me a break. No, it's very simple.
Right.
Marriage is between a man and a woman, sanctioned by God, licensed by the state. Any questions? Israel is good. Israel deserves to be there. Israel's been there for however long. I'm not, I don't even get into the argument anymore about who was there first and, the whole, as Wendy explained, Ishmael and Isaac. That's not really important to me. What is important to me is how the world exists today. And how the world exists today, you've got, and I've made this point several times on different, with different reporters, that the Muslim world has all of Indonesia, which is hundreds of millions of people. It's got the entire north, the Saharan Africa, from Morocco to Egypt. That's several hundred million people. You've got all of the Middle East. You've got, I don't think Iran's part of the Middle East, or I don't know, is Afghanistan and Pakistan, are they considered Middle East, or are they Asia? I'm not sure.
No, I think that they're considered Middle East. Middle East.
So from Pakistan to Saudi Arabia to Jordan, Syria, Lebanon. Who else have we got there? And all the Emirates, you know, Bahrain, you know, UAE,
yeah,
all those folks.
Right.
You know, they're all Muslim.
Right.
Okay. So the Muslim world is huge.
Yes.
And we're talking about the Jews got a little piece of land the size of New Jersey, half of which they've already given away with
right.
the West Bank, Golan, and Gaza. That makes no sense. The first thing they need to do
right.
is take back Gaza. Now, here's my theory.
Right.
My theory is that they invaded from the north to drive Hamas into Egypt because Egypt has the southern border of Gaza. They didn't start in the south and drive north because that would have driven the Hamas into Israel. So, and this is, I believe
right.
this is a longstanding plan to drive Hamas and all the so-called Palestinian Ottomans, you know, who want Israelis dead out of Israel. And it makes perfect sense. This is a longstanding plan. What do you think? There's way
no,
to
I
go.
No, I agree. I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's a longstanding plan. And I think that Israel's prime minister is doing the right thing and being fiercely defiant and saying that we're not going to back down. We're going to kill every last Hamas person. I mean, he's pretty much publicly declared you're already dead. It's just a matter of us finding you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he's doing this in defiance.
Standing his ground, and that needs to be done.
Yeah, but he's doing this in defiance of you know, Brandon Obama, and this is an Obama operation.
Right.
Obama hates Israel. We talked about this on the show recently that he favors the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood was in the White House several times. Muslim Brotherhood, you know, sponsored the Arab Spring, which he favored. Sponsored Robert Morsi as president of Egypt, which Obama favored. Obama's messed with every election
right.
of Netanyahu since Obama became a president, maybe even before that. Obama hates Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing everything possible to stop
right.
Israel from, you know, battling his Muslim buddies in Hamas and ISIS and the Muslim Brotherhood, which originally created those two groups. That's the problem.
It is. And no, I agree. And he also has... I believe it goes back to the days of Obama. I'd have to look up the exact year she was put in there, but I'm sure you've heard a little bit about Arianne, I think it's Tabatabai, is that how you say her last name? She's the insider that has been in the Biden administration that pretty much has been outed as an Iranian spy.
Mm-hmm.
She was
oh, yeah.
born
no,
in Iran.
There's several of them.
And
no, there's several of them. There's,
right, and she
yeah,
was working,
yeah.
yes,
mm-hmm.
working under Malley, Robert Malley. So
oh, okay.
it doesn't,
he's
it doesn't, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's another one for sure. And apparently he's being investigated for mishandling of things. But I have a feeling that he'll be let go with a slap on the hand the same way that the bags of cocaine that were found in the White House were let go with a, I don't know who it could be. I guess we'll just dismiss it. same mentality.
And as Trump said, there are more cameras in the White House than any other place on earth. Of course they know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hunter
of course
Biden's
they do.
Been...
And it was put in a locker.
Yeah. It was a locker, what, for safekeeping so they could use it later? We better test the evidence.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Hunter, here's your cocaine.
Yeah, we're
going
to put it in a locker. And you know, in the most prominent the most prominent building in the entire country, we're going to have lockers that have numbers assigned to them. But we're not going to keep track of logs of who uses those lockers. Anybody could have done it. It could have been the security guard. It could have been some random passerby that just went into this locked locker, opened it up, put a bag of cocaine in there, and said, okay, I'll come back to that later. And the Bidens claimed complete ignorance. Saying, I have no idea who that is. How did it get there? It's a Scooby-Doo mystery.
No,
what do you
that's think? Not the question. That's not the question I have. The question I have is, are they going to give him his cocaine back?
Yeah, right. Well,
here you go,
know,
Hunter. Don't bring this
it
again.
It depends
right.
on.
But there's so much. Well, but let's get back to Obama again because he is the puppet master, and I've divided the world up into domestic terrorism, which Hillary's involved with. She runs the Department of Justice. Her job is to arrest and jail and put in a gulag every conservative in the country. That's what she does. Obama's
right.
job
is to
fundamentally transform us not into a Marxist dictatorship, but a Marxist-Muslim dictatorship, a theocracy, you know, a communist theocracy, which is a contradiction, but, you know, so is Obama. But this is why he's so dangerous.
Right.
And Israel, now think about this. Now, Netanyahu is risking all the foreign aid that he was getting, you know, by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Brandon Obama could cut off the foreign aid, and Congress doesn't have the balls, quite frankly, to go against Obama. Otherwise, they would have, you know, they would not have let him surrender in Afghanistan. They would not have let those weapons go. They would not have continued to fund the DOJ. This continuing resolution sucks. I hate continuing resolutions.
Right.
I'm still debating to once again renounce my Republican, you know, voter registration, go independent again because it's not worth it. You know, maybe I'll see what happens with the end of this one. But why? You know, it's like the Who song. I was talking about this with Bill Fecky earlier. You know, here comes the new boss, same as the old boss. Here comes the new speaker. Same as the old speaker. You know, Pete Townsend on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Why? Why is Mike Johnson there if he's going to do a CR? Why?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure him out. And, you know, obviously he appears to be putting up a little bit of a resistance, trying to make it a more, like, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to do the things that are right. I mean, that public opinion is out there, but he's still, I don't know enough about him. He literally feels like a guy that was put there out of nowhere. I don't know how he got elected.
He was number three. That's how he got elected. He was number three in the Republican conference. So it was Kevin McDeepstate was number one. Jim Jordan was number two.
Mm-hmm.
Scalise, I'm not sure where he fits in it, but Mike Johnson was next in line. And nobody knew anything about him. He mm-hmm. snuck in. And I knew about him because I watched the hearings.
That's my point.
And there's another guy in Ohio who's really good also, who's a stealth, you know, patriot. So Mike Johnson is like a stealth patriot. But, you know, he gets the reins of power, and the first thing he does is pass a CR. I'm sorry. You know, we didn't go through all this. Matt Gaetz and all the other folks didn't go through all the trouble to get rid of Kevin McDeepstate so that Mike Johnson could continue Nancy Pelosi's budget. That's insane.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
It flies in the face of the patriotism.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking, you know, it's time to get rid of the GOP again. I don't need either party. But at least the Democrats,
right.
You know, you're getting,
right.
Well, what do you think is happening with Israel in terms of how strong they're standing? Because, it's, you know, God bless Netanyahu. It's a good thing he's prime minister. Otherwise, mm-hmm. this would not be happening. If you had a weaker Israeli leader or anybody else, but Bibi, they would not be doing this. They would have wimped out. They would have kowtowed. They would have said, okay, you know, we're going to be that strong. Netanyahu's like, no, this is it. You know, I mean, they've had this plan probably for 10 years. And now they're implementing it. They're going to clean out mm-hmm. Gaza. I hope they keep it. Did you know where he's already said that he's going to, where did I find this? The Free Thought Project, which hates Israel. But they have a great article on it. Sometimes you got to read the opposition press to find out what's really going on. But they said that, let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, Free Thought Project. It's called A New Nakba, Unveiling Israel's Plan for Gaza's Fort Exodus. And this is from, I don't know what MPN is, but Free Thought Project. I'll get a date on this for you if I can. It doesn't say. Was it last weekend, Israeli newspaper Local Call leaked an official government document recommending what Palestinians have been saying. Israel is already trying to get with its war on Gaza, the forcible transfer of Gaza's 2.3 million Palestinian population to Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. Well, I'm in favor of that. That's Israel anyway. If that's what the government's going to do, I say go for it. What do you think?
No, I would agree. I would agree. They need to. I love that Netanyahu is as strong as he is. And, you know, that's exactly the type of leadership we had in Trump. It was like, nobody messes with me. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to stick to my guns. And that's exactly mm-hmm. his attitude. I think that Netanyahu and Trump got along so splendidly because of their common ground. I mean, they're not afraid to stand up for their values. And even if it was someone that had a polar opposite value from me, I would admire them just for the fact that they stick to their guns and they don't blow with the wind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and on the show, if someone disagrees with me and they stand by their position, they don't kind of, you know, weasel around it. Well, let's take Bianca Von Krieg, who's in The Hour After You, fully supports a mm-hmm. universal guaranteed income. I think that's absolute nonsense. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time. Do we yell and scream at each other? No. You know, Bianca's going to stay on the show because I love that perspective. I don't have to agree with it.
Right.
But I know that Bianca's sincere in the belief that this is the way out. This is the way to prosperity because we both want prosperity for people. Mm-hmm. But it's a completely different way of getting it, you know, there. But I can talk to Bianca because of that, because I know the courage of her convictions. And so it makes sense to me. Like Bernie Sanders. I know the courage of Bernie Sanders' convictions. He actually believes all that. I think he's wrong. But I respect him because I know he's sincere. Hillary Clinton just wants power. Mm-hmm. She's the most. I got a question. Do you know anything about? Did you study psychology at all? Because I have a question on you. This is a little different, a little off topic here.
Very little, very little. The only psychology I really took was in high school. But I mean, I have read things. So go ahead, hit me.
Well, the two psychopaths I think in government right now are Mayorkas and Hillary Clinton. In other words, they have no conscience.
Mm.
They lie. They lie without. They lie as easy as breathing. I'm going to look up the American psychiatric mm-hmm. definition of psychopath. I've been wanting to do this for a while. American psych. Yeah. Well, anyway, let me type. I have to type around my microphone. This might take a minute. But anyway.
Okay.
you go for it. See if we have another story if you want to continue on the Israel thing, because it's fascinating to me what's going on, that Benjamin Netanyahu is so defiant. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. The plan is out there that they're going to drive the Palestinians into Egypt, and I say more power to them. What's Egypt going to do?
Right.
Well,
no, that's very true. Yeah. That's very true. And just tying, tying into back to the days of Obama, you know, Obama gave billions of dollars to both the Shia and the Sunni sects of Islam, which is why all of this basically blew open as it did. And basically, I think I touched on this a couple of weeks back, where he paid Iran billions of dollars arguing that it was to prevent them from building a nuclear weapon, which is what the fear of most Americans is that, oh no, if Iran has a nuclear weapon, they'll bomb the ever-living tar out of us and we'll all be dead. So he, in order to do that, doubles the U.S. debt, puts the focus of U.S. Homeland Security on opening up the borders, claiming that, oh, these are just good Americans, and many of them, you know, are coming from terrorist Middle Eastern countries. So he basically, that almost covertly, is saying we're going to help Iran in the future, push through, attack Israel. You know, again, it goes right back to the Muslim Brotherhood support. There was a plan all along, way back in the day, that has been pushed through the mouthpiece of Biden and his mumbling and jumbling ways of teleprompters saying what they want him to say, and the American people blindly following. And I don't understand how we can forget what happened during the Holocaust. It was not even 100 years ago, and people seem to have completely forgotten the evil that was behind Hitler's regime. Here we are practically welcoming it into our own country once again.
Well, is it ignorance? I mean, do these students just not know about the Holocaust? Or they just believe it was that bad? It's like, I remember friends, you know, talking about my rather strange family, dysfunctional childhood. You know, oh, it wasn't that bad. Were you there? You know, how do you know? And
right.
It's like the same thing now. They say, well, Hitler couldn't have been that bad because, you know, I mean, I'm sure the history has been rewritten. I'm sure that he was that bad. He was that evil. I went to Dachau.
He was that bad.
I went to the Dachau Memorial. Okay. I was in the Dachau Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
I walk by the ovens. I stood in a gas chamber by myself, and it's just all you hear is screaming in your head. I'll never forget that experience as long as I live. So for me, it's very real because I was there. I saw it. Okay.
Right.
Now you don't have to see it to know it. Like
yep.
I don't have to know torture is excruciatingly painful. I know torture is excruciatingly painful. I don't have to experience it, but I did experience Dachau for a reason, just so that I would have that memory with me.
Well,
you know, so yeah.
And,
go ahead.
And along with that memory, I have a question for you regarding the Judeo-Christian Society of America. There are many different countries with different languages that will do whatever they want. So I'm going to take Spanish, for example. It has Latin roots, okay? They name their kids Jesus, which is Spanish for Jesus, and Adolfo, which is Spanish for Adolf, all day long. They have no problem with it. But let me ask you a question. When's the last time you came across a fellow American named Judas? Or Adolf.
Or Benedict.
That in our country.
Yeah.
Or Benedict. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, we take pride in remembering our history and saying, I am not going to curse my child with a name like Adolf or Judith, because that poor child's going to be ridiculed to death. And yet we want to erase the Holocaust from history books and pretend like it never happened. Then why are we still not naming our kids those names? I mean, heaven forbid.
That's
when's the last
really...
time somebody named Lucifer?
Yeah, that's their band's called Lucifer, but they have other problems, or Black Sabbath or some of the other things. Let's ask Marco. Marco's listening in the Netherlands. So Marco, how many Adolfs are there in Germany these days? I wouldn't imagine too many. But on the other hand, you know, I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer was a mass murder cannibal, you know, but there's still a lot of Jeffreys out there. So it depends on the level of recognition. I think the name Hitler probably died out in Germany rather quickly after World War II. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted that name. You know, and descendants, you know, quickly change the names and just for their own self-preservation. Because I don't believe in guilt by association. You know, you can have one psychopath in the family. It doesn't mean, you know, was Lizzie Borden's sister an axe murderer? Probably not. You know, but she was. Yeah. But I mean, you know, so the idea, that's a really interesting point, the way people are named. Mohammed, you know, is like the most common name in the world right now, or the most common name in Europe. That is like a survey in Galway, Ireland. You know, what's the most common, you know, baby's name right now? It's Muhammad, because there's so many Muslims there. But the Muslims, you know, it's like the Crusades reverse. The Muslims really want to take over Europe and the United States, which is wrong. I do not want to live in a Muslim-dominated country. I don't. I didn't come here for that. Well, I didn't.
I
was brought here.
That's right.
Yeah. But people need to start saying that, you know, because Obama wants a Muslim-dominated United States. I don't want Obama's vision.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want that fundamental transformation. And the White House just put Kamala Harris in charge of something that she obviously can't do, which is, you know, she can't do anything anyway. You know, their new thing on Islamophobia. So that might say, are you afraid of Muslims? No, I'm not afraid of them at all. But I don't want a country under Sharia law. I want my constitution, my Declaration of Independence. I want my Bill of Rights. You know, that's my birthright. You know, that's my citizenship now. You know, yeah. as a free American, I do not want to live under Sharia law. I do not want to live under a Muslim-dominated country. And yet, Obama's doing everything he can to convert us over. We've got millions of illegals. We've got he brought in every Muslim he could from Afghanistan. Hundreds of thousands. You got Somali that have taken over. What, Dearborn, Michigan is like a no-go zone for Christians now? That's insane. This is our country. Mm-hmm. And we've got Colony Ridge in Texas, which is an entire illegal alien city. We got problems.
Well, okay, so touching on that, I'll shift gears a little bit to a story that came up about Chicago migrants. So we're talking Chicago.
Yeah.
This is the state Obama is from. He's from Illinois, for people that have forgotten that. In the city of Chicago, they have passed so much legislation to help migrants, it boggles the brain. I hate to think about the taxpayer bill that each and every citizen in that city has to pay. But the Chicago migrants that have come there from, get this, Venezuela, are literally flocking back to Venezuela, the worst socialist country. They came here for the American dream. They got all the support that Chicago put out there for helping them with renting and housing and assistance and all this. And now, just a few months later, they're going back. They interviewed this one guy named Michael Castejon. Cracked me up. He is the epitome of, I want to live in my mama's basement. So basically, they asked him what it was like. He migrated with his wife and stepdaughter from Venezuela to find a better life here, right? And
migrated?
After several months. They
migrated,
is what they're using.
I don't like that term. No, they invaded is probably closer.
I don't.
Let's be true.
Because he didn't have his paperwork. He was waiting on paperwork to come through, and he was getting
frustrated
that it was coming through too slow.
All right, let's call them invaders. Because migrants are people that actually technically come to the country, work, and go home. That's what a migrant is. Migrant workers come, do a job, and go home. These aren't migrants. These are invaders.
So Michael Castejon Invader, a.k.a. Invader, not to be confused with space invaders. He was a city invader. He came from Venezuela to find a better life.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about that. Hold on a second. Now, this is really important. Is coming here for a better life justification for coming here?
Yes. Justification for a better
life. Legally.
He wanted a better life, supposedly.
Okay, but what is what he wants is as important as what we as Americans want? In other words, are we going to have a better life with Michael Cartagena Invader? That's the real question. See, everyone looks at this backwards. People say, well, they just came here for a better life. Well, I don't care what their reason is. That's not what immigration is all about. Immigration is about making a better life for Americans by having these people come here. So they have to prove. That's what immigration is. You prove that you can make life better for Americans by being here. That's the definition of an immigrant. So let's talk about it in terms of that.
It's contributing.
Right.
Contributing to society as a whole. That is just the ultimate motive of anybody coming here, is basically to contribute to the betterment of the country that you are moving to. And in the process, you yourself benefit because you're able to support yourself and your family. But you're not taking away from the country. You're adding to the country with something it did not previously have.
And these invaders aren't doing that. They're just here for the money. They're here for American taxpayer money.
Yes.
So that's not a better life.
Bingo.
That's extortion.
And that's why he came.
Yeah. So let's label it extortion.
But this is how the press, the press puts it out there, though. They narrate it as, oh, they came here for a better life for their family. He came here with his wife and his stepdaughter. Now, why he had to come with his stepdaughter does not even necessarily make sense to me. But he moves the whole family here, goes to Chicago, claims he can't find a job. I find that so hard to believe. But claims he can't find a job and had no access to better education. So he basically is saying that they came to America and the education system here was no better than Venezuela. I also have a large problem with that, or it speaks volumes about Chicago's public education system. They were utilizing the vouchers.
What's fascinating is that communism is better than Chicago. I just find that hysterical.
Right? Right? And this is my point. It's the state Obama came from. And we're looking at the largest city within that state. and the state of the breakdown within that city. And that whole, he comes out, this Michael guy came out with a quote saying the American dream doesn't exist anymore. There's nothing here for us.
What I want to do, I know you're saying the press says, but what I want to do is go beyond that. Our job is not to reinforce what the press says and then argue against it. Our job is to tell the story properly. So this is why I change words all the time. You'll never hear me say assault weapon. It's always freedom rifle. You never hear me say President Biden or Biden administration, because there is no such thing. I'm not here to say President Biden, but we call him something else. It's Brandon Obama. So what I want to do is encourage, this is all voluntary, because you know me, I like to give everybody discretion, but I want to highly encourage is that we don't defend what the press says. We don't use their language. We don't use their terminology.
Right.
We use their assumptions. What we say is what really happened. So now I'm assuming you're reading the Gateway Pundit article, or do you have a different one? Because I found that same article.
No, it was Fox News. So is that the Gateway Pundit when you say that? It was Fox News.
Might be. Check out the special investigations page. I've got a Gateway Pundit version, you know, story on this. But here's what I want to do. I want to talk about these people as invaders. It's, you know, if they say they're coming here, I don't care about this better life argument. They're here to extort money. Okay. And the fact that they're coming here for an education means that they're not in a position to contribute to our society. So they shouldn't be here. Here's another country that people are forgetting. All these invaders, 10 million, 15 million illegal aliens, okay, they're babies.
Uh-huh.
Those babies are being given American citizenship at the hospital, okay? So that, and this is why the left doesn't care about this. You know, the Trump talks about, you know, sending all these people back. They're going to say, well, wait a minute, the kids are already Americans, even though they're not. So what they really need to do, what we really need to start focusing on is correcting citizenship, and it has to be corrected to the parents. So all these people that come in on their way out, they have to be. They have to have their citizenship corrected. All those kids have to have been corrected as to their parents. Otherwise, they're just going to come back in a future Democrat administration.
Right.
Oh, we're Americans. No, you're not. Just because you're born on U.S. dirt,
right,
it doesn't make you an American. And
right.
So this is really clear.
Well,
so now, if you were to redo the story and tell it as an action radio perspective, this is going to be interesting. So this is Michael. Go ahead.
Yes. Michael Castejón invaded our country, decided to go to Chicago to strip it of all of the welfare benefits that he could find. In the process of a couple of months, pretty much exhausted every handout that Chicago was willing to give, admitted that there was nothing more to extract like a leech from all of the Americans, and so then decided it's better that I just leave. Because at least I can go to my mommy's basement and cry on her shoulder. I tried.
Now that is an action radio report. That's how I want it. Does it make sense? Isn't that much more fun?
Yeah.
So
that's the point I was trying to get to all along.
But start with it.
He literally was quoted as saying, going it.
Exactly. But I want you to take that position initially. So don't give the leftist press perspective. Just go right for it. And say, I got a story here. We've got an illegal alien here who wants to drop babies and try and claim citizenship, wants to extort Americans from all their money, and he finds that communism is better than Chicago. That's how I tell it.
Right.
You know, and so this is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Isn't that more fun?
Yeah. It's a lot more fun, yes.
So I'm digging. Yeah. So I want to relieve you of the burden of having to state the leftist press and then defend against it. Just go right for how you would say it as an action radio.
No, and I will. But
the thing
that I found so funny about this is that in the words of the leftist press, they were not afraid to put that quote in there. No, it's better that I leave. At least I have my mother back home. I laughed out loud when I read that. And that's right in the leftist press, because I'm saying to myself, this dude, with all he went through, is literally saying, I'm going back to my communist, terrible country, because at least I have my mom back there. And I'm just thinking to myself, it's such a millennial attitude, a snowflake attitude of, well, you know, I tried and they wouldn't accept me and I couldn't get what I thought I wanted. They wouldn't give me my coloring books in the corner and let me have my time to myself. So I'm just going to go back to my mom. I mean, that's exactly what he was doing.
That's much better. That That's perfect. That's exactly the way to characterize this. Yeah. So mommy's basement is better than freedom. Mm-hmm. So what we really are talking about here is that these invaders are not coming here for freedom. Okay. So the fact that they find communism more attractive than Chicago means that all these people are here for the wrong reason. Okay. So now we're on to something.
Correct.
And of course, Congress could use that against, you know, the Brandon Obama insurrection, but they don't do that. You know, so here's something. I'm trying to get this message to Trump. I'm not sure how to do it, other than when we do Citizen Legislation Day, which is January 7th. And that is that with their so-called mass deportation, there's two components they have to have. They have to have asset forfeiture. You got to take all the stuff these people gain in this country illegally, okay? And that includes all their benefits. Send them a bill. Send the government a bill for all the benefits that were paid to them if they don't have the cash to reimburse our government, in other words, our taxpayers. That's the first thing. And the second thing they have to do is correct the citizenship of anybody born to these illegals here. They've got to do that. And Trump can do, you know, they can do that because there is no policy. There is no law. And people are arguing that the 14th Amendment says that they're U.S. citizens if they're born on U.S. dirt. And I use dirt for a reason because it conjures up a very different term than born on U.S., you know, on U.S. land, soil, or territory. No, it's dirt, okay? If you're standing on U.S. dirt and you give birth, that does not make your kid a citizen. You know, any more than people who are born, like John McCain was born, I think, in Panama or Rammstein, Germany, or something like that. But he's an American because his parents are American. Mm-hmm. So citizenship does not transfer through dirt. It transfers from the parent. And so we need to make that really, really, really clear that we have to correct at least back a generation, maybe two. And that's just going to get messy. Mm-hmm. The further you measure, it's going to get because you've got people who have been here, you know, their whole lives living as illegals. But if we go back to 2000, so you go back one generation, okay? That's only 23 years ago. That's basically one generation. Mm-hmm. So you correct everybody's citizenship back to 2000. I could live with that. It wouldn't be perfect, but it'd be better than we have now. And so that gets rid of all the chain migration. So all those people that are here that had their citizenship corrected, we need a special status for them. We need, and it ends with them, okay? So then that will eliminate the problem. The next thing we need to do is start cutting back on legal immigration. It's like, okay, you had your chance.
Right.
You know, Congress, you brought in a bunch of illegals. You allow these people to stay here. Now, in order to fix the problem and get us back to a decent population of around 250 million or so, we need to stop immigration until we have a sustainable – and I'll use leftist terminology. We need a sustainable number of people in this country. It's too crowded. The cities are too crowded. Our quality of life, you know, suffers horribly. Wages are down. Every possible thing you can think of is due to too many people, and they're all immigrants because the U.S. birth rate is declining. So what we need to do is have more U.S. citizens give birth. You hear that, teenagers? Go out and have babies. Sorry, I'm just kidding. But all right, wait till you're 21, then have a kid and get married too. That helps.
There you go. That's a little better.
Well, I can make corrections. So so let me correct that there. So turn 21, get married, and have babies. American citizens who believe in freedom. You know, all these immigrants that I misspoke. I see it even happens to me. All you invaders, you're going home. Do you remember my PSYOP that I wanted to do? This is when all this nonsense started. I was telling the GOP, you got to be on the border. You got to start handing out cards that say, don't get comfortable. You're not staying, in Spanish.
Yes.
To all the illegals crossing in. But they didn't do it because they don't believe in PSYOPs. They don't know how the psychology works. Anyway, back to you. Enough of my rant.
Well, I was actually looking at a little bit of the information that came out. Now, a week ago, Stephen Crowder came out with 3 pages of the Tennessee Shooters Manifesto. Since then, things have gotten a little bit more opened up. But at the time when I was researching this, I was basically looking at the fact that the police chief's office, I had this FBI and the materials that were seized in relation to the shooting that were supposed to be released without delay, it was not fulfilled. So U.S. Representative John Rose requested that of the FBI chief, and it was not fulfilled. There was a written explanation and a timeline as to when it would be, and the chief's office did confirm that they received it on May 31st, but they would not give a response. And so the FBI basically referred his request to the Metro Nashville PD. They went underneath the FBI to the PD. And in the meantime, Stephen Crowder was able to get 3 of the 200 pages, and now we know, since they have been completely verified as authentic. And my question was, how did Stephen Crowder get them? Do you have any questions?
Yeah, that was
my
question for you. That was my question. I have no idea. So I would say somebody in the Nashville police. So my guess is that somebody photographed on their cell phone the entire manifesto, my guess, because they knew how hot this was. and it's out there. So there are copies waiting to be released. And I want to know where the other 197 pages are. And where's the rest of it?
I do too.
Somebody's got it.
Are they waiting to release it page by page, or is it just going to come out at one point that the whole thing is there? And obviously they wanted to suppress it because if you look at what was in those three pages, it does mm-hmm. not bode well. It flies in the face of every agenda piece that the left wants to put out there in saying that, oh, you know, this was somebody that hates black people. I mean, it doesn't go with their narrative. So they did not want to put it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. And what's interesting is that it actually, because like I say, I don't believe in guilt by association. You know, in other words, white people have no more in common with Adolf Hitler than Mother Teresa. We're too told, you know, in other words, that Mother Teresa is white, you know, and Adolf Hitler is white. Do they have anything in common? No. You know, so the fact that this person was a trans drug infused, you know, probably ADHD drug, you know, puberty blocking drug and antidepressant drug infused. I think the drug problem is far worse than anything else. But the fact that the trans part of this comes out doesn't mean, you know, like, again, go by association, does not mean all trans people are murderers. And the left, because the left only thinks in groups, they don't think of that. So what the left should be saying is, this is the aberration. This is the extreme. This is not who we are. This person, and they should condemn this person. And then they can go about their you know, civil rights claims and things like that, which I think are wrong too. Let's see what John says. Right. John, who is a former cop, says, I don't think that someone took pictures of the whole thing. It would take too much time and there would be too many people watching. Huh. Now, then in that case, I would look to the person that has the evidence locker. Whoever in the Nashville police who has the keys to the evidence locker, that's where I'd look first.
Isn't there cocaine in that?
No, that's the White House. That's different.
Right,
but John, why don't you call him real quick? We got a few minutes here. But chain of custody. I've watched CSI. That's the extent of my knowledge with chain of custody. But if this thing had to have been locked up somewhere, someone had access to it for a while before they, you know, where is it now? And we know this is a White House. We don't know, but I'm pretty sure there's a White House operation to suppress it because the leftists and Obama, you know, doesn't want this out there because he didn't want to offend, you know, the trans community. But the trans community involves conservatives, involves moderates, involves liberals, involves Marxists. You know, and people, this is a big secret about San Francisco. You know, when I lived in San Francisco, there were conservative gays, moderate gays, liberal gays, Marxist gays. You can't lump people in like that. So I don't know what the left is afraid of by not releasing this manifesto. But it's not classified. This is not classified information. So it has to be released.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it has to be released at some point. How long do you think it'll take before we see it? Or will it ever even be made public? Will the three pages be it?
No, I don't think they're ever going to make it public, which is too bad. Well, Trump might. Trump might declassify.
Yeah.
Congress should subpoena it, and they should put it in the congressional record. Just like Matt Gaetz put Hunter Biden's laptop in the congressional record, they need to subpoena this and put it in the congressional record. John, what do you think?
Exactly.
How does chain of custody work? Where do you think the manifesto is?
We're talking about Tennessee, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So the way that works is someone will collect the evidence. That will get booked into a property room. Once it goes to property, then the only people have access to that are usually the investigators. So they would actually have to check that evidence out and then recheck it back in when they're done with it. The way it sounds to me, though, is they released all that evidence to the FBI. So as far as I know, the feds have it. They're just not releasing it.
Do you think it's still intact? Do you think that the manifesto is still there in like a vault somewhere, or do you think they destroyed it?
That's 50-50. There's a good chance they, you know, quote unquote, lost it.
Yeah, because the murderer is dead. You know, it's not like there's a trial coming up where that would be destruction of evidence. Bonnie, what do you think?
Right, and that's the problem. That's the problem they're having.
Go ahead, John.
Is that the investigation should be closed, but they're trying to treat it like a continuing investigation. And that's why they're refusing to release it. So what they're saying is, well, we're actively searching for other participants that may have been involved with this.
Involved how?
There is no definition of how. It's an open-ended investigation, so that way they can suppress the evidence.
No, it's closed. There's only one person in the video. That person's dead. We know who did it. You know, we know that they did it, you know, willingly. Basically, that even those three pages, is it like a confession? Bonnie, what do you think?
I mean, obviously the whole quote-unquote lost it. It's definitely what I kind of feel has happened here. They're not going to release it just like you agree with. As far as them being open-ended on trying to continue to pursue it, like you said, the only person involved is on video. It should kind of be a cut and dry, open and shut case. I don't even understand the point of dragging it out. Why is it not that he basically is declared as the shooter? We make the manifesto known that this person was a complete psychopath in the sense of whatever drugs messed up or whatever else was going on in that person's life. It's obviously they can't pay any kind of a life sentence in jail. They're dead. So why not just make the facts of the case known? What is the point? I don't understand that. Maybe you can help, John.
The point is it doesn't fit the narrative. That's
right?
The bottom line here. And that's the only point. If it fit the narrative, that would be out immediately. The guy in Maine, they had that information on the guy in Maine within hours, less than an
right.
hour, and they put all of his information out, which is a whole separate issue, which leads me to believe they knew the guy and they knew it was going to happen. But regardless, they had this person's information. They took volumes of information, brought her in a search warrant that would explain probably all of this, but it doesn't explain it the way they want it to, and that's why we don't have it.
So what's the narrative they want? What's the narrative they want?
They want that she was transgender, she was abused, she was discriminated against, that they all picked on her, and she had a right to do what she did. She was only defending herself for being who she was. That it was racially and bigoted motivated on their part, on the victim's part, not on hers.
You know, with three children dead, that's going to be a real tough sell, even to the most ardent leftist. Yeah, but why doesn't the left separate from this person and say, look, this person was a murderer. They have nothing to do with us. That's how I would handle it. So look, and they say they're only a victim maybe of the drugs and of the things like that. It doesn't excuse what they did. So what we need to do is start looking at all these drugs that we're giving these kids so we don't have this happen again. So let's look at it from prevention. This is where things go wrong because people just – I mean, there are murderers who do evil things. That doesn't – you know, it's like blaming guns. It's kind of stupid, but it's that same psychology. But here's another question.
Right.
The fact that they don't release was anybody surprised by what we saw in those first three pages? Was anybody surprised at all?
I was – no, I know I wasn't.
John?
No, not at all.
Okay, so we knew what was in those three pages ahead of time, right? So what we're not, so we're really looking for is not to know what's in it because we already know what's in it. You know, I can extrapolate from that, you know, based on what this person – I pretty much know what the rest of it is. The rest of 197 pages of rantings and ravings, you know, it's going to be anti-white. It's going to be anti what they consider rich. What was it? I forgot which this person started off as, a dude or a chick. I think it was a dude, right? Chick wanted to be a dude.
Yes, it was a female, and she was still a female.
Okay, so there are not a lot of female murderers, which is interesting. This is an exception. You know, so it goes against, well, women don't commit violence. Yeah, they do, you know, and does, you know, be interested to investigate this further. But the point is, you got a murderer who hated the people that he killed, hated all kinds of things. She. No, he. Where'd they start off?
No, it's
start
a
off
she.
As a dude? It's, oh,
start
no,
off
as a chick.
Started off as a she. She was still a
so
she.
See how
she just wanted to be a he.
So, all right. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
That's why I just use the word they. It just makes, you know, he, she,
okay,
they,
so
it.
They,
I don't know.
But I hate they because I don't want to give in to leftist pronouns. All right. So
I'll
just say the murderer. So the murderer, we know this is a purposeful, premeditated, based on hatred, based on prejudice, based on – this is a hate crime. Right? This is pure and simple. Now, has it been listed as a hate crime at all of a trans person killing straight people? You know?
No.
A white on white,
not
you know?
To my knowledge.
Okay, so this is a hate crime not being – all right, let's do another one real quickly. Bonnie, I don't know if you had this on your agenda, but a teenager who was trying to save another teenager from being bullied got kicked and stomped to death. And because it was a white victim
– I did see that story.
That's not being – you know, it was on One American News last night. So the prejudice is so bad, the narrative is so bad in this country that when a white kid gets basically killed, punched in and kicked and beaten to death by I think like 15-plus black kids – that's not news. That's not a hate crime. That's not worldwide news. I mean, is this such thing as news discrimination? I mean, I just made up a new term here, news discrimination. All right, so maybe we need to do a report on news. So now in what's not in the news, let's start talking about news discrimination. So this is a news discrimination story where the value of this white life is nothing compared to the value of black life, like the overdose fentanyl, what's his name? Floyd. George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
So George Floyd, if you hear my my diversity workshop, you know, we talk about these truths. You have to say every hour, George Floyd was killed by a fentanyl, by a drug overdose, okay? So you got somebody who's celebrated as a victim for basically killing themselves on a drug overdose. Then we got a 15-year-old kid. And what about the 18-year-old that was killed by the guy in the pickup truck because he was a Republican? Remember that? So we're devaluing conservative lives and white lives and male lives. So conservative white young men are being killed because of who they are and what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story.
Well, yeah, and the news outlets are intentionally not talking about the crimes against them. In fact, even here locally, there was a high school case, I want to say about 4 years ago in Little Indiana, where there was essentially a boy who called another boy the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And it resulted in utter suspension. Now, granted, they got into a fight. It came to a fisticuffs. The kid that threw punches, apparently, even though there were cameras, the white kid did not throw the first punch. The black kid did.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, they determined that he was perfectly justified in throwing the first punch because the white kid called him the N-word. And so, therefore, the retaliation of violence was totally – now, okay, since – the N-word has been said, okay, that's a hate crime. We don't use that word. But does that give a black person the right to throw the first punch? I don't think so. And
of course
the white
not.
Kid
no.
was suspended from school in the process, where the black kid was able to freely roam the halls of the high school kind of with that justified, validated attitude of, ha-ha, I got away with it, and I'll do it again every single time.
It's
not
worse than that.
Right.
Yeah, it's an entitlement. It's an entitlement to violence. I think it's actually worse than that.
Yes.
We need to start doing news discrimination stories. So this is what's happening. So we're telling black and Hispanic youth in this country that they are entitled to commit violence against white people because of this whole diversity, inclusion, extortion, DEI nonsense. That's scary.
Exactly. Exactly.
John, what that does is it leads to
further narratives.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, it continues that narrative that they want to push anyway.
It's going to lead to more violence. You're going to have more black and Hispanic, mostly black it looks like, killing white people. And it's okay. It's going to get swept under the rug. It's not, speaking of equal justice under the law. And of course, the left's narrative, we know what they're going to say. I'm not even going to waste my time with it. But John, did you see cases like that? Did you see a difference in prosecution based on politics, based on the narrative? That black people have to commit more violence against white people in law, and that they didn't have to pay the same penalty for it.
Yeah, I mean, historically, that's always been the case. I mean, you've always had that. But I also think that part of the problem is, like you were talking earlier about choosing words and how those words have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
There is no hate crime. It's just a crime. And part of the problem
we've
done with the system is we bought into this, and we've made people special classes of victims. And making them a special class of victims, by extension, gives them the right to use violence to defend themselves.
Hmm.
So this is exactly what we're talking about. If someone calls someone the name, well, I'm using their theory. Now, I'm not saying that's true. What I'm saying is using what's going on in the real world, that you call someone the N-word, they have the right to punch you in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's justification. Now it's I have the right to preemptively punch you in the mouth because I'm already a special victim and you already hate me.
Bingo.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and I fell into my own trap of using leftist language to because I like to try and use because we always try and use it against them, but they don't care. But I got a new commentary here, new person. Hey, listen longer before you comment. He says, "What's up?" A whole lot, but you got to catch up with the show. So how do we get around that though? How do we? It's almost like we have to reestablish who we are, what we are, and not allow ourselves to fall into these traps. Because it's like an emotional booby trap to use leftist language or to try to have to defend against leftist language. So these are crimes. You know, that's what I call the murderer murderer. Don't make an exception. Don't classify it as trans. Don't do any of that. It's a murderer, pure and simple. That murderer is dead. So therefore, everything related to the case should be released because the case is over.
That's what I've been saying all along. But just like he said, they're not going to do that because it doesn't fit the narrative. And that's where I think... if more of these stories would be brought to light and just have unbiased reporting, that's what we've been after for years. That was the whole goal of Trump releasing a network of news that was supposed to be unbiased reporting. That's what Fox, Fair and Balanced, used to be before it became its own money-making entity and trying to now basically being accused of inciting violence for being too far right and then kind of giving in to the push of, well, we have to be more friendly. We have to be more PC. We can't speak it like it is anymore. And it felt like Tucker Carlson was the last man standing of not giving in to that, and then he left.
But no, he didn't leave. They were fired. He was fired. Let me start again. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I get rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, strange stuff. Bonnie, you got 5 minutes left. What else is on your mind here?
Well, we did talk about the Ohio, or we were going to talk about the Ohio abortion law that was part of what was passed, where it had a Part A clause in there saying every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions. And it said including but not limited to decisions on contraception, fertility treatment, continuing one's own pregnancy, miscarriage care, and abortion. And initially that gave me two questions. First of all, does that mean that manslaughter is allowed? Because we know that if a pregnant woman is involved in any kind of a shooting or an auto accident, it is not one life but two that is taken to the court saying that this person was killed, that she was in utero, there was a second life. We've got manslaughter here. So if they're basically saying that the abortion law gives you the right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, what about manslaughter? That poor baby can't speak up for itself. Second, is trans surgery part of reproductive health? If they're saying that, you know, I'm doing this for, I know that. I'm saying,
yeah.
Will
yeah.
they come back with that argument? I know better than that.
Yeah. I've got a different argument. I like your argument, so I got a different one. Read that very first sentence of the very first clause of Section 1, and I'll tell you when to stop.
Every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions.
Stop right there.
Including.
Stop. No, no, stop. No, 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 no. What do
I
we. Everybody assumes they're talking about women. Now, I don't go by what assumes. I go by what it says. And what it says is everyone. That includes men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So men now have a constitutional right to renounce parental rights and not pay child support. Oh, isn't this interesting? Think about that. Men have a choice. Now, can men force women to have abortions? Absolutely not. But can women force men to be fathers? Absolutely not. Ohio doesn't know it yet because no one's brought the case. But what they've actually done is given men equal standing under law and under their constitution. And this isn't a law. This is a constitutional amendment. So read that first sentence again, because this is key to the whole thing. I'm the only one saying this, which always fascinates me. Just go with that very first part again.
Every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions.
So men have absolute control over themselves, whether to be parents or not.
Yes.
Well, they can't force a woman to give birth. In other words, so you can't force another person, but that other person can't force you either.
Right.
So what this means is for men, you know, they say, look, I renounce my parental rights. This is the woman decided to have this baby. You know, it's half my, you know, genetics. But, you know, under my right of everyone able to make their own reproductive choice, I choose to not be a parent, just as a woman would choose not to be a parent and can have an abortion and can go for adoption and can give their baby to any fire station. Men haven't figured this out yet because men are stupid when it comes to their own rights because they never think of themselves. They always go into the same assumptions. But let me ask John, what do you think about that? Have I interpreted that pretty clearly? What's that?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But I also think that you could take it a step further and you could actually say that the man has the right to try and force the abortion and litigate it.
Okay, I would disagree
with
you.
That's what I was getting at too.
All right, so I disagree. No. Now we did – in fact, I got Bianca on the line. I'm going to bring Bianca in just a second here. But we have a bill that actually splits abortion into two legal entities. We separate the termination of the pregnancy of killing the baby. So the problem with abortion right now is that most people don't want a state so oppressive it forces, you know, women to carry pregnancies. But what we don't want to do is kill the baby in the process. So the problem with an abortion – the termination of the pregnancy is the killing of the baby. And so if you separate those two under law, which we did in the bill, which I worked on with a lot of conservative women, particularly mothers, you know, so I had a lot of help with this bill because I wanted people to give them birth to have a major impact on it. Not being one of those people, I asked for advice. And this is what we came up with. We actually split it into two separate events under law. The first one is the termination of the pregnancy, and the second one makes the first one contingent. In other words, you cannot terminate the pregnancy unless you can save the life of the baby. So I would say that a father has no more right to terminate the life of a baby than a mother does. Again,
okay, so
equal
then
protection.
Then reverse it and have him basically litigate the fact that she wants to have an abortion and he does not.
So now that's a different question. That is a much more complicated question.
Sure. But
my resolution is that if she wants to terminate her pregnancy and renounce her parental rights as a mother, and the father then gets full parental rights and you save the baby, that's how I'd resolve it. So an abortion can't kill a baby. So if you change abortion so that abortion cannot kill the baby, but only terminates the pregnancy, that's a whole different question.
Sure. The problem you're going to have is you're forcing her to carry that baby to term, or at least to a viable condition.
Wait a minute. Well, how about medical science? How babies are being born at what, 20 weeks?
Sure.
And there are consequences.
If she wants to have that in the first 18.
There are consequences.
That's where it's going to have to be figured out.
But there
and that's the problem with the law.
Yeah. No, I agree. But there are consequences to actions. And one of the consequences is that a pregnancy has to go long enough so the baby can't be saved. Bonnie, what do you think about this?
Well, and the only thing that comes to mind in this is what about the situation where the father is mentally unstable? And the woman would say, listen, I don't want to bring a baby into the environment of the fact that, like, I want to abort the baby, where the father wants the baby, but that's only because he's mentally unstable and there's no way he could take care of this child. Then would she not have a right to say, listen, you require an examination and an authorization of sorts saying that you would even make a viable father for
the potential
baby
mothers.
Before?
No, mothers don't go through a mental health check before they have kids. You know, you'd never hear someone say, well, you know, this woman can't keep this kid because she's mentally unstable. No, so I disagree with you. You can't do those kind of checks. If someone's unfit to have a kid, that's different. That's a different story.
That's what I was getting at. At, though, is there's all kinds of situations where the government would step in and say, no, you are not able to have this child, whether it's financially, whether it's mentally, whether it's emotionally or not. They could step in and they could say, you cannot.
Yeah, not until the child's born. I'm going to bring Bianca to this, and let me just click her line here. Bianca, you want to get in this conversation? You've been listening for a little bit.
I guess, sure, yep. Why not? We're going to have a very special report, a progressive report today. We're going to go live on location at APEC with the protests in San Francisco. I'm heading over there right now.
Okay, so let me know when you do that, because I want to make sure that we make a definite break in the show and take on that, because that's an entirely different topic.
Yeah. So go ahead and finish your thing with that.
Okay, let's do that. All right. So let's sum up then, Bonnie and John. Let's get comments on this. But Bonnie, let's bring this up earlier next week. This is a huge issue.
Okay.
Because people have not considered that this empowers men in equal rights and things that they previously don't have. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this works out. Well, the men's groups got a hold of it. What do you think?
Well, I would definitely I'll put some more thought into this coming from a man's perspective, and I'll bring up some points early on, and we'll kind of dig into it some more.
Okay. I'm a man. Ask me. We got time before next week. Oh, next week's Thanksgiving. No, Wednesday isn't. Day before Thanksgiving. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, sum up. Yeah. Let's get to contact information, and then I'll let John go, and then we'll get on to Bianca and a live report from APEC. That's going to be fascinating.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. You can find me on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on WFRN.com. You can listen live for some encouraging, upbeat messages that will bring you closer to your walk in faith and will also hopefully add some humor to your day. You can also find my cookbooks at my website, www.bonnie-appetite.com, also available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iPublishing.com.
Sounds good. Wow. Today's flying by. We have some amazing reports. All right. We'll talk to you next week. And away we go with Bianca. And now a little West Coast sophistication for Action Radio. Where else can a progressive, socialist, trans actor, political activist, and candidate from San Francisco meet on the air with an anti-federalist, individual rights, free market citizen legislator in Florida? Agree or disagree? And we do. It's always fascinating. So join us now, please, for the Progressive Report with Bianca Von Krieg. And I got Bonnie's line muted, but you can listen as long as you want. If you want to come back on, just text live chat. But I want to hear all about this, because the title of the show today Yeah, I had a little bit of fun. It's APEC SF. So, Bianca, I'm featuring your report in the show title today. I said, Xi Jinping instructs Brandon Obama. Yes, master. Go ahead. Take it away.
Well, you know, I mean, that's not entirely unfounded. It's obvious there's a heightened sense of security here. Just as I was leaving to catch my car, I saw about half a dozen highway patrol cars, CHP, that's our equivalent of state troopers,
mm-hmm.
you know, just driving by. And that's very, very unusual. CHP normally stands clear of San Francisco and just leaves it to the municipal police department.
Well, they're mostly highway patrols for those that don't know California. So the California Highway Patrol really does stick to the highways a lot. They have jurisdiction over the whole state, but San Francisco, being both a city and a county, has a county sheriff, has a sheriff's department, has a San Francisco police department. So there's a lot of police. There's a lot of law enforcement in San Francisco right now. And, of course, they probably got FBI and security people, and because you got the diplomats coming in, so the Secret Service is probably there. You got a whole mixture.
Yeah, you're going to have Secret Service, and because it's foreign dignitaries, there's going to be DSS, which is Diplomatic Security Service, which
right.
is run by the State Department. And but we're going to be embedded with the pro-Palestinian protesters today. And we're seeing a lot of there was a lot of protests since Sunday when this started. There's actually been some pro-Chinese people here that were happy Xi Jinping is coming to town.
Is he going to Chinatown?
There was a lot of
I have to ask. Is
I don't know if he's
going
to Chinatown.
Come on.
That would be a great question.
That's my first question. Are you kidding? So let's get so Bianca's in San Francisco. All right. And so just so folks know, I lived there 30 years. I'm intimately familiar with the city. So if I get a little too local, you know, hopefully I'll explain things as to where things are. But we should explain where they're coming in from, because I guess there was the route from San Francisco International Airport. You got to go up the peninsula. You got to get into San Francisco. They're going to Moscone Center. It's a mess. Let's get a little flavor for what's going on here and what's the schedule? What are they doing for today?
I don't know their particular schedules. I know that Biden and Xi Jinping are meeting for 4 hours today, trying to get back on.
Well, he can't stay awake that
terms.
Long.
He can't stay awake that long. I don't see him staying awake that long at all. And maybe they'll put something in his diapers to keep him awake or whatever. you know what? I can maybe get out. I can get out here. I'm talking to my driver here. It's going to be a mess down here. I don't want to have him have a date. I'm on 6th Street.
There's a live report, folks, on location.
This is
okay.
No, so I'm on Market and 6th. I'm going to be joining the Palestinian pro-Palestinian demonstrators here, who are one of many, many groups who are protesting. Mm-hmm.
But why?
Here in
why?
San Francisco.
Why an Asian Pacific Economic Conference? What's the? Now, I'm not going to argue. Obviously, everybody knows my position on Israel and Hamas. That's for another hour. But my question is, why?
Yeah.
Why are the pro-Palestinian folks at this particular Asian Economic Conference? What do they hope to accomplish?
Oh, because all the key players are here. The diplomatic corps is here. The president of the United States, the vice president is here, the president of China, and all of their, hangers-on, so to speak. There's also a greater unrest about verity in the United States and in the world. You know, they keep talking about inflation going down, but nobody – what?
How about in China?
Well,
China has horrible poverty all over China. There's a billion people, and I don't know how many of them are well off, not that many.
Well, it's really not possible to have people in poverty in a communist system. It's just people who live in a lower class of subsistence. But so they have to.
Well, I might challenge you on that someday, but that's for another show. But yeah.
Going down. Go ahead.
Well, let me raise a question, because something that most people don't know about Chinatown in San Francisco is that they fly both Republic of China, in other words, Taiwan flags, right next to communist China mainland flags. So they get along in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
Well, I mean, they're kind of like not at all political like that here. The only kind of politics that those groups care about are the local stuff. They don't they don't care about the national stuff. It's just that, you know, the only thing that really gets them angry is the price of lettuce going up or something like that.
Yeah, the markets are something else in Chinatown. But I just found out.
I know those markets
know
where
that,
they're just like clawing at each other for, like, you know, cabbage and carrots and all.
Oh, God.
You know, just,
yeah,
it's
don't get me started
mad
on the live fish that they have on the tables. That's a whole other story, too. Yeah, Chinese markets are something else. But the point is that Taiwan Chinese and mainland communist Chinese, San Francisco, get along just fine, which I find fascinating. Yeah, it's all Chinese. Same people.
Yeah, there's just they say it's all Chinese here. I'm just walking by the new IKEA store here, which they're hoping is going to, you know, turn everything around for them, which is totally ridiculous.
So what's happening in South America now? What's it look like? Is it because it's a big wide streets? It looks somewhat planned, but there's a lot of small businesses. I don't know. Is it getting better? Getting worse? What's happening in South America? What's it look like?
It's about the same. It's kind of the same ghost town that it was since the pandemic. Really, it looks like my guys moved on here. Might have to catch up with them. Yeah, it's desolate. Like one out of every three storefronts is closed. The what do you call it? The off of Fifth Market here, the Nordstrom Rack, they're all closed permanently. They're shut down. The Nordstrom's has shut down. The flagship Nordstrom store here on Market and Fifth, that's shut down. The mayor has some ridiculous idea about turning it into a soccer arena. I don't know where she gets these things.
Soccer arena? Oh, please. You got the whole peninsula. You got what the park used to be. I mean, there's all that land down there.
There's plenty of facilities already. They just spent billions building that stupid Chase Center for the Warriors. And so she.
Where's that? Is that Oakland or where is that?
It might be a little after your time here. That's actually in Mission Bay. Yeah, and that's that actually did a lot of nice things for the area there.
Well, the AT&T Park did, the baseball park did some amazing things. For folks that don't know, Mission Bay was this horrible little backwater. It was awful. It was high crime. It was falling apart. It looked ugly. And then they decided to build the ballpark there. And people thought,
I'm going to the
idea.
Demonstration.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was talking to – somebody's handing me a flyer here. It's like I'm
– What's it say? Okay, tell me what the flyer says. What's it say?
Let's see here. Workers reject imperialist war. APEC is where the world's bosses meet, and our fight back starts in the street. Well, see, this is exactly kind of what I was talking about earlier.
Interesting.
It's a number of issues that are converging. You know, there's going to be climate protesters here too.
Oh,
wow. Good. They got rid of the barbed wire in front of Nordstrom. That was real cute. Some asshole put a barbed wire. I don't know what they thought was going to go down, but
now, do we have
gone,
this
but,
is a, wait a minute, since this is an economic protest? Do we have the 99%? Remember Occupy Wall Street, Occupy San Francisco? I remember when the whole Embarcadero area in front of the ferry building was all tents and people camping out. And I don't know what they were trying to accomplish. Is that movement still going on? Because this is an economic conference.
Yeah, I think you have a lot of the same energy here. Sorry, there's like a street
no,
cleaners
fine.
Out here in sports.
No, I can hear you just fine. Yeah.
And there's a generator for his little power washer. I think there's he's doing the power wash thing. You know, that's the more condescending part of this whole operation.
What's that?
I'm here. Excuse me, sir. Are you an APEC member? Would you like to talk to our radio program? No? Okay. I just saw what looked to be like an Asian man.
No, go
man.
Ahead. Listen, anybody you
get his credentials.
Oh, yeah. No, we have folks all. In fact, I think the last time Josie was at a Trump rally a couple of years ago.
I actually think he was Asian security. I think he was Chinese security.
Oh, really? What did he look like?
One of those,
how could you tell? He looked like
a regular, like, he looked like a regular Secret Service type, except he was obviously Chinese.
Earpiece?
And he had the earpiece, yeah, and he had the little, like, lapel pin. So, I don't know.
Packing? You think
but,
he was packing?
So, yeah, the city has been trying.
You think he was packing?
The city.
You think he was packing?
I didn't want to check. I didn't want to press that point.
Okay.
Like I said, the city has done some pretty condescending cleanup efforts, which are just very shameless in timing. in terms of planting trees around the city. Like that's, I'm
so
serious.
What,
like,
are they
Gavin,
how far do they do
just,
it? Tell me
so
about
what the trees.
We were talking about this earlier, that they've they've hosed down the streets and they removed the homeless and cleaned up the needles. And what else have they done? And how big an area did they pick for this?
It's obviously in the security zone. That was the first one, the place that was hit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now I'm on 4th and Market here. I'm going to ask these cops if where my guys went. Maybe they know. Let's see.
No, this
hey,
is great.
Did you guys see my protesters,
fun.
The pro-Palestinian guys? Did they cross fire?
I didn't see anybody.
You didn't see any? That's a letdown. Okay.
No, that's no fun. I would love to.
The cop doesn't
on the show. I mean, it's I would disagree, obviously, but that's okay. I still want their point of view.
Well,
so
we wanted to give them a chance. I was hoping to give you guys a chance to ask questions and find a little bit more. We're obviously seeing the tide turn towards Palestine in recent media news. Because the demonstrations around the country. Yeah.
I'm getting just the opposite.
Well,
we talk.
Yeah, I know. I hate them too. Oh, here's the delegate. Excuse me, sir. Would you like to talk to our radio show and our listeners around America?
Nope.
No. Okay. Any of these people? Okay. Well, have a good time at your thing today. Those are some Asian people, delegates.
You need like an Action Radio ID. I've got to get you I'll send you. We actually have our own ID, so you can use it for these occasions. And so I'll put it on your Facebook Messenger. I never thought about it because I didn't know you were going to do this live, but you should definitely have one.
I didn't know either.
Well, that's good. No, don't worry. Yeah, okay, well, that's good. But
I just woke up this morning and go, let's go downtown, you know. So.
Oh, I love the spontaneity. We haven't had this much fun since we had people, two of our reporters, Jonathan and Josie, were January 6th on the Capitol Hill grounds, and they were reporting direct from there. So we do get this sometimes. We do get live. I love live reports like this. Anybody you want to put in the air, fine with me. But I think the press credential will make your job easier next time so that you can be, and I'll say Action Radio Reporter, and I'll show you how to do it, print it up. Office Depot makes really nice IDs, and they have the holders and the whole bit. So when you put a phone in somebody's face, they'll go and say, here's my ID. I'm Action Radio. Okay, fine. Now you're official.
Yeah, I really wish this is the one time I wish this was a video show because I'm standing in – at the Marriott, you could see one of these. Well, you can hear one of these like vans backing up that or his French fries already. And I'm sitting.
We'll make a video.
I'm sitting at the Marriott on Market Mission and I think 4th. And they've erected these security fences, the same kind they used in Capitol. How many times are you gonna back up, buddy? Come on. Man,
this is great.
Seriously, that guy's taking his sweet time. So they've erected some security barriers here. They got a little check-in tent, for the security guys to hang out at. They've got one of those huge stopped, mobile barriers that are here. That could, it looks like it's made of steel or something. They got some Highway Patrol guys, some DSS around
here.
Wait,
this is an economics conference. What are they expecting? Yeah. These people are talking numbers and accounts and, balances and trade agreements and things like that. This is not a meeting of soldier of fortune. this is economics. These are accountants. These are bureaucrats.
Well, you could have fooled me. There's I don't like the look the city is taking on because of this.
Right.
So right now I'm proceeding further. The street's blocked off. The street has been blocked off the traffic, but the sidewalk is still open until you hit Mission here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see if I can find some other people who want to talk. Here's somebody.
Tell me from Action Radio.
Sir.
Sir, go for
I'm with
it.
Action Radio. Would you like to talk a little? No, I'm not giving the. Somebody gave this to me. He saw my flyer. He thought that was my deal. Sir, would you like to talk to our national radio show here?
No, thanks. We're late.
Okay. All right. Have a fun time, Ken.
Now that you've named him.
Well, he had his little badge on. He's a nice guy. So he saw my flyer. He thought, no, we already got one. Like, no, it's not my deal.
Oh, I thought you were handing out flyers. Yeah, that's funny, too. That's a riot.
So, I really don't know where my guys went. I was told, why don't you riff a little bit. I have to check the schedule here on my phone.
Oh, no problem at all. So this is the Progressive Report with Bianca Von Krieg, and Bianca is live in San Francisco at somewhere around the Moscone Center where the APEC, the Asian Pacific Economic Conference, is taking place. And, of course, the highlight is that is where Joe Biden's going to get his instructions from Xi Jinping as to how to help China best and sacrifice our country. So that's what's going on. And there are a bunch of protests. The Palestinian folks are there. I don't know if the Chinese folks are there. I'd be interested if the Taiwan contingent is like, you know, leave Taiwan alone. You know, let Taiwan go. Free Taiwan, you know, from the beach to the beach. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But anyway, but that's what's happening right now. So we're actually getting a live report. And so Bianca's trying to get some folks to comment on the air, which would be fine with me. We don't care. You know, fortunately, we're not governed by the FCC. So if they drop F-bombs, I'm not crazy about it, but it's not going to hurt us either. So I'll get over it. But that's what's happening now. So Bianca, when you're ready, come on back on. But
I am.
Okay, good.
So it turns out I got a little bit more of a walk here.
Did I characterize that pretty well for you or what?
Oh, yeah, that was great. Thanks.
So
it turns out that I just got an email from the group. They're a little bit farther down. Here's a couple more guys. I'm going to see if they want to talk. Hey, guys, would you want to talk to our national radio show here about what you're doing at APEC? No, well, have a good time.
Action Radio. Yeah. Tell me from Action Radio. Yeah, you're an Action Radio reporter.
Looks like they're rushing off somewhat. Have a good day.
Well,
seems like they're late for their little fascist convention here.
But let's talk about something that I think folks might be a little confused about, and I do this all the time because we have new listeners. In fact, we have some Belarus listeners for us, which is right above Ukraine, which always fascinates me. But the thing is that people, I don't think they understand that progressives there's different degrees of progressive, just as there are different degrees of conservative, and we don't all march in lockstep. And so both the conservative, you know, America First, MAGA, you know, Make America Great crowd, and the progressive socialist Democrat crowd do not like Joe Biden. You know, and it's fascinating. I don't think people understand now for different reasons, maybe. But the thing is that you're not any happier about him taking instructions from Xi Jinping than I am.
No, and the thing is that all of these pro-Palestinian people have decidedly said that they are not voting for Biden, even though they previously have. So that's going to be a huge bump in Trump's favor. I think that the Muslim community is pretty much in lockstep in that respect. If they have anything to say about it, Biden will not be the next president of the United States.
How big is the Muslim community in San Francisco? Because I remember seeing some mosques, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell because, you know, it could just be like a people of Middle Eastern descent who aren't necessarily Muslims, so it's definitely not insignificant. The cops had to rent a Hertz stand there to move themselves around there. It's funny.
Yeah, I hear a backup signal again. It's really annoying. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
This
is funny. They have these little car plates they put on their windows, and it says what nation they're from.
Oh.
So I'm looking at a car that it says APEC Korea. So that's from Korea.
That's Asian Pacific. Okay.
North
sense.
Or south? That's the question. I wonder.
I'm just thinking of that, too. I assume south. Do you think Kim Jong-un sent any delegates over from North Korea? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't really see that guy being a participator.
But look at the hypocrisy of this. Xi Jinping is a communist dictator. Kim Jong-un is a communist dictator. Why is it we take one communist dictator, but we don't take the other communist dictator?
Oh, good. I found some people here.
Okay.
Okay, so I found some people here who are not happy with China. let's see who these guys are. Sir, I have a radio show. Would you like to tell some of our listeners what you're trying to do here today? Can you hear Greg?
Yeah, just get a little closer to the phone.
From the radio?
Yeah, from radio.
Action Radio.
Sorry, that's... we have some coordinator. You can talk to
him. Yeah, the coordinator. Okay,
yeah.
Who's the coordinator? You know,
he's there.
They're over there.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Oh, I'll see what I can do. All right.
Yeah, a little hard to understand. Tell me from Action Radio. It's a nationwide, actually worldwide show online. And yeah, give them the website too.
Yeah, I think there are some language barrier skills there.
Yeah, well, I heard that. Yeah,
he was having issues. It looks they're all wearing yellow, so they're all maybe just because they're expecting rain. I don't know.
Wait a minute. That could be significant because, you know, the Chinese, the communist color is red, which the fact that red,
it's kind of hard to tell who's the organizer
red,
here.
Yeah, it's hysterical. Go ahead.
Let's see here. Hi, I'm from Action Radio. Would you like to tell our listeners what you're... Oh, sorry. She doesn't speak English. Hi. Oh, okay. Hi, I'm from Action Radio. I'm from Action Radio. Would you like to tell people what you're trying to do here today?
What is it?
I'm from Action Radio. Would you like to tell people what you're trying to do here today?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put her back on speaker.
Okay.
What's your name and what's your cause?
Oh, we are Falun Gong practitioners.
Falun Gong.
Yeah. We are here to share our principles of truth, compassion, and tolerance, and also raising awareness and spreading awareness of the persecution going on in China.
Okay.
For the last 24 years, Chinese communist regime has been persecuting this group. Yeah, when people do this, you know, Falun Dafa is a mind-body practice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but because of its excellent effects on improving health and morality, it got really popular
in
the 1990s. And there were 100 million people practicing it.
Wow.
People loved it so much, right? But Chinese communists...
Don't put them in a Tyler Swift fan.
Yeah, one out of every 13 Chinese did it, right?
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but Chinese communist dictator didn't like it. So in July 1999, they banned the practice.
Okay.
So since then, practitioners have been imprisoned, tortured, and even killed for, you know, doing this meditation.
That's SOP for the CCP, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting. Let me just jump in here because, hi, I'm Greg. I'm the host of Action Radio. I'm here in Florida. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're on the radio. We're live. You're talking to millions of people around the country.
I see. Good. So
this is wonderful.
Most horrific atrocity.
Greg, did you want to ask a question?
Well, because I just want to introduce myself. I'm Greg. I'm the host, and I'm here in Florida. And so we do have a worldwide internet audience, which is great. Falun Gong, I remember. I used to live in San Francisco, and I remember the practice in the park in Chinatown, and it was nothing but peaceful. I mean, why do you think that the Chinese dictators object to it, and particularly Xi Jinping? What is the threat from Falun Gong?
I'm sorry, Greg. We can't really hear you. We're out on the street, and there's a lot of street noise. Maybe just ask your question to me, and I'll tell it to her.
Why is Falun Gong such a threat to the Chinese dictator?
Oh, she's like, we're gonna go where it's a little quieter. What was your question, Greg?
Yeah, why is Falun Gong such a threat to the Chinese dictatorship?
Okay, they want to know
meditation.
Why is your group such a threat to the dictator?
First of all, we need to know the communist China, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So they want to control everyone.
Uh-huh.
So this one. There were 100 million people practicing it in the 1990s.
Yeah.
So the dictator, the one person in power, at the time his name was Jiang Zemin, he was very jealous.
Yeah.
And afraid of the popularity of the group.
Okay.
Yeah, when you look at history, Chinese Communist Party, they have been persecuting like landowners,
mm-hmm.
intellectuals. They picked some groups, right?
Right.
Yeah, for whatever reason. But this one was so popular. 100 million was much more than Communist Party membership.
And is there a reason why you're protesting on this particular corner on 5th, or is it 4th and Market Street?
Yeah, because Xi Jinping is coming, right?
Yeah, I think he's already here, right?
Yeah, he came and he's going to meet Biden. So we want him to know, you know, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And one thing I really want to mention is forced organ harvesting.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
Yeah, so Chinese doctors take organs from living Falun Gong practitioners and sell them for a transplant. It's not the black market. It's the standard regular hospitals doing it.
So they can buy them on Chinese eBay or something like that.
On the hospital. So people go to Chinese hospitals to get organs.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, normally in the U.S. or other countries, we're on the waiting list, right? But there, mm-hmm. they just, you know, kill people. They have a huge database of Falun Gong practitioners, like blood type, tissue type, organ health information. So when there's a need for transplant, they find the right match and kill them. Yeah, this is like well-known, well-documented. You can, you know, Google forced organ harvesting. There are many groups involved.
Oh, my God. That,
so
that
that's
is
the
awful.
Most horrific thing revealed so far.
Oh, well, that is terrible. We have to move on down the street here. But it was
oh, wait a
nice
minute. Hold on a second. No,
you.
No.
Do you
Bianca?
Like to say anything else?
Bianca,
like
no, Bianca. Bianca?
Wait, what? What, Greg?
Yeah, get contact information for this person. I want to get her on the show.
But,
see if she wants
to
call in sometime, or
like
if you have a card or the following going address.
Or your website. What's your website?
I want some follow-up.
She's going to say her website.
Go to falluninfo.net.
Falluninfo.net.
Yeah, Falun, F-A-L-U-N, info, I-N-F-O.net.
Okay.
That's a very good resource. Yeah.
Would you like to give your name?
My name is Yang Lan. Yeah. Uh-huh. I've been practicing this for the last 23 years.
Okay.
And the essence of this practice is truth, compassion, and tolerance.
That sounds awesome. I love this principle.
So persecuting Falun Dafa means actually persecuting truth, compassion, and tolerance, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, please just, pay attention to it. Yeah, just do your own research.
Okay.
Yeah, all the media, they are bought by the Communist Party, we think.
Yeah,
they don't report on this fairly.
No.
Yeah, so just do your own research and think for yourself. And don't be on the side of, the killers, the murderers.
I don't think anybody's on their side.
Well,
all right. Well, it's very nice
thank you very much
you.
For me.
Well,
thank
I wish
you
well
this
in
is
your
great.
Event today. Bianca Von Krieg. Yeah, watch. It's called The Progressive Report on Action Radio.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Okay.
So what I want to
that
do is follow up.
But
this.
That was a nice lady.
This is incredible. See, I know a little bit about Falun Gong. It's a meditation practice, and these people were persecuted. I want to find out how bad it is. So what I want to do is follow up. If not today because you're busy. But sometime soon, I know there's a Falun Gong organization in San Francisco, and this woman, I'm sure, is a part of it. But I'd love to have her on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And go into more detail on this because, the reason is, did you hear our show a couple of weeks ago with Xi Van Fleet, who is the woman who wrote Mao's America, talking about she survived the Cultural Revolution and came here. She's in Washington, D.C. right now. I'm going to send her this show with that interview and see if I can get some follow-up from her. That was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to.
The organ harvesting was something I'll never forget.
I've heard of it, but I didn't know they were. I knew they were harvesting from prisoners and from the Uyghurs, the Muslim Uyghurs or the Christian Uyghurs. I think they're Muslim Chinese up north. But I didn't know they were killing people. I didn't know they'd find a match and then kill somebody for their organ. That was news to me. And this is the thing that people need to find out. So this was an incredibly valuable interview you just did. And so for folks, when we get that kind of amazing knowledge, just let them go. And just get contact information and see if we can do some follow-up. Because this is someone who could call in during your report and we could have a serious discussion about this. Or what if I match her up with Xi Van Fleet from who's in Washington, who has all kinds of connections, and maybe we can do something with this. Okay, so there's all these connections that I know about because I know everybody on the show. And I want to develop these kind of things where because you're such an incredible resource out there in San Francisco that we can do I think some amazing things with this. I mean, I want to know how it is in Chinatown that the Taiwanese and the communist Chinese get along so well. And is the Taiwan issue going to come up with Xi Jinping? It should.
That'd be my next question. It's definitely on there as well as with that stupid spy balloon thing. Taiwan is definitely going to be discussed. I know there's been some deployments out there, but to be sure, their horrible human rights record. Obviously, it just got a lot worse. Right now,
well,
so
you didn't know
heard.
About that. That's that was interesting. Yeah, what China does is horrible. Yeah. I haven't heard from what's been going on in Tibet. We haven't heard about that lately. That's another thing. But these are countries that don't necessarily get along. So when they lump Asia together, you've got China, you've got Japan, which were fighting heavily in World War II. Korea, Japan and Korea fought previously. We've got and I don't know if is Vietnam here. How about Cambodia and Laos?
Who?
Vietnam. Are they represented?
Yeah. In San Francisco, I would imagine to some degree.
At this conference, is communist Vietnam represented in the Asian conference?
All of the Asia Pacific is represented down here. Everybody, Indonesians, they all came in.
The Indonesians.
Wait, I'm walking here. All right. So,
what are you, Al Pacino?
So this guy was just going to run right past
here.
Me. Like,
was it the other guy? I get those two actors confused.
So, they've cordoned. I'm walking past, I think it's third and Market, and I can see down to Moscone. They've got that whole area cordoned off here. I'm just trying to get down to my group here at Embarcadero. This is maybe a good time to say that I just want to say how much I appreciate what our listeners and what we've done. Because if you listen to the past presidential debate, they actually brought up some of the things that we've talked about 60% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck, obviously because they're Republicans, they didn't have any solution for it. But I think that was a first, to have that actually be introduced in a Republican presidential debate, and about the suffering of, lots of Americans on a daily basis.
Are you talking about Ramaswamy, who I call Obama Swampy? Are you talking about his performance?
I think Chris Christie might have actually brought this up, all people.
Huh.
Don't quote me on that, but I just remember it came up, and I thought, oh, my God, we're actually getting through to a lot of these people here.
The car alarm?
A car alarm's going off, and like four signatories are standing around looking at it.
They don't care. It's not their car. Now, wait a minute. So these guys have diplomatic immunity, too. So is that causing a problem?
Not all of them. You have to be pretty higher up. But, in theory, they could literally get away with murder. Obviously, there would be some repercussions for them back in their home country. But,
Do you know what I find fascinating is that the mix of communist and free market economies. So you've got the communist economies, Vietnam, North Korea, mainland China. I don't know where Laos and Cambodia are. I'm not familiar with their argument. How about Thailand? Is Thailand there?
Everybody's going to be here. The Philippines. The Philippines are all here. All right, we just encountered one group here. Seems like a kind of a small group.
So what do they expect out of this meeting?
I'm sorry?
This
is a climate group. They want to end the fossil fuel thing.
Please put them on. Please put the climate group on. I can't wait. It's up to you.
Yeah, there's about maybe two and a half dozen of them.
Okay.
They're blocking.
Of course.
They have a bunch of signs. It's a globalized climate justice. That's good stuff. Water is life. Another one I'm seeing. And that's about it. There's like maybe about a couple dozen, maybe 30 people here. They've blocked off, I want to say New Montgomery Street as it comes in from Market Street.
Uh-huh.
And
that's what the
they've got some chanting
is, right?
going, but still not our main group, so we're going to keep going on here. That was next to the Sheraton. Obviously, I think it was meant to deal with the delegates who are getting up and going to work from the Sheraton. I think Xi Jinping is actually staying at the Intercontinental.
Okay. That's a big hotel. That's South Market. But the St. Francis, the classic San Francisco hotel, isn't that on New Montgomery? There's some classic hotel there.
No, that's not on.
What's that?
That's Sheraton. That's the Palace Hotel. It's on New Montgomery.
The Palace. That's right. The Palace. Palace of the most beautiful hotels in the world. The courtyard there used to be for horses. That's how old that hotel is. It used to be horses would go circle the courtyard. Now it's all glassed in.
Wow, did not know that. That makes
Palace is beautiful.
Because it is a weird area. Like when you think.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, this,
Yeah, goes back to the horse and buggy days. So the carriages, when the guests would stay at the original Palace Hotel, that's why the doorway is so big. It used to be big enough for carriages, and they would go through and they would circle in the courtyard there. Yeah, Palace was built around it. Oh yeah, Palace is a historic landmark. I just forgot the name of that. St. Francis is up near that's Union Square. I'll get it straight. It's been a while.
Yeah,
since
that's on Geary and it's right across from Union Square.
So here's my overall question.
Go ahead.
Well, you've got communist countries and free market countries all meeting in the same thing. You've got Muslims and Christians and atheist communists. You've got such a weird mixture. I mean, people, you can't lump Asian countries together, because look at the difference between a Muslim Indonesia and a communist China and a free market Western Japan.
Or Falun Gong. Yeah.
Well, Falun Gong, what would be the equivalent? I'm trying to think. This would be the equivalent here of a peaceful, be like Buddhists here. It's close to Buddhism. It's a Buddhist practice, basically.
It does seem like a denomination of Buddhism, based on her description.
Yeah. But I remember, I had forgotten about Falun Gong, but I remember these folks. You ever drive by the park in Chinatown? You see these folks with their hands in the air, all kind of sitting there peacefully, just kind of standing for like hours at a time. That's Falun Gong.
That's just old people doing Tai Chi.
No, they're moving. The Falun Gong are the ones who are standing still. The Tai Chi are the ones who are moving. That's the difference. So it's Tai Chi in the morning, Falun Gong in the afternoon. I don't know. I'm just, you know.
I think they do normally have like a standing protest going on in front of the Chinese consulate in Japantown.
Where is the Chinese consulate?
The Chinese consulate is on Geary. And I forget the cross street. It's but it's right
downtown?
Across the street from Chinatown. Yeah, is it? It's it's kind of like mid city. Yeah, it's Japantown.
Okay.
So
how about Japantown? Is Japantown protesting China at all? Anything going on in Japantown?
I don't think they do it as a neighborhood. They just kind of mobilize, you know, they coagulate to their various groups. I haven't heard anything going on in Japantown. That's normally a pretty quiet area.
They're still suffering from the internments. I mean, so many of the folks in Japantown. Japantown was a lot bigger before World War II, but Roosevelt signed the internment order. And a lot of those folks ended up in Manzanar and other places. So Japantown is a fascinating history. You know, and I used to talk about that on my tours. You know, I believe in honesty and history on my tours.
Yeah,
we talked about Pantown.
Good time in history.
Yeah.
And it also begs the question, why didn't it happen to German Americans too, you know, who are living here as well?
A couple of reasons.
So
one, they're white.
Yeah.
And two, they are spread across much of the Northeast and the Midwest of the country. Germans are the second largest ethnic group here behind British. So the German-American population is huge. However, if you remember the Lindbergh kidnapping, Bruno Hauptmann was judged guilty because of the anti-German feeling. It's like, if you remember Sacco and Vanzetti, who were the anarchists, who were executed for some bank robbery or murder of a cop. I forgot what it was, but they were basically executed because they were Italian immigrant anarchists. So some of our history is not that great. It really isn't.
A lot of our history is not that great in many places.
Yeah,
you know, we're also seeing in a very unpleasant part of history unfolding now with, you know, bombings of hospitals in Gaza, you know, killing women and children and people who are infirmed.
The problem is that, but Hamas, we just have a video which has been released where a soldier goes through a hospital in Gaza, and it's full of weapons, you know, so Hamas uses hospitals.
Yeah, you know, I don't dispute that. The thing is, it's like, that doesn't give them a pass, you know. I was actually on a call with a congressman yesterday, and we were talking about, and my question was, why aren't we flooding the skies of Gaza with C-130 dropping humanitarian aid? And he didn't give me an answer on that. And then another woman said that, you know, this what they should have been doing is sending Israeli special forces into the tunnels instead of just bombing indiscriminately. And that didn't get an answer either.
Yeah. See, those are good questions. You know, and like I say, I'm not as familiar. But my question is goes back a little further, is like, why did Israel give up Gaza in the first place? Because I got a video on the Action Radio Special Investigations and the International News page, which shows what Gaza looked like when Israel had it. I mean, it was paradise. And so the solution, I would think, we've talked about this on the show too, that the best thing for the people of Gaza is if they want to be murderous Hamas people, you know, then they should Israel should kick them out and they should go into Egypt. And that's what the Free Thought Project has an article I post too, that they have a leaked Israeli government document that they're basically going to force, you know, Hamas and those that want to kill Israelis into Egypt, you know, through the southern border of Gaza. But if Israel takes over Gaza again and the Palestinian Muslims who want to be, you know, assimilated into Israel, like so many other Palestinian Muslims have done, they're doing just fine. That's fine. So that's what I think is going to happen. Gaza has to go back to Israel. They need to fix this. And those that are trying to kill Israelis, you know, go live somewhere else. And those who want to assimilate into Israel, stay in Gaza, and Gaza can go back to what it was, which is basically Miami Beach. It used to be a paradise. It used to be a tourist attraction.
That is an interesting description. I mean, it is beachfront property.
Seriously, yeah. Look at the video. The video, you see what Gaza used to be. It was parks. It was green. It looked like the rest of Israel. I mean, yeah, beach umbrellas. It was a tourist attraction. People would go fly to the beaches of Gaza. And then when it was given over to you know, basically the Ottoman Turk refugees we call Palestinians, I'll leave that term out there, they destroyed the place. And so, you know, and the problem is, do you let people stay in your country who are trying to kill you? My answer is no. So either assimilate and get along, or you leave, or you're forced to leave. And that's I think, the best way out of this. And then we're not going to have this problem. But Israel never should have given – I mean, Israel's responsible for giving up the Gaza in the first place because they knew what was going to happen. They knew when you let these folks into this territory, they're going to send in rockets and bombs and dig tunnels and kill Israelis. That was just a given. You can't give land for peace. It doesn't work that way. You keep land for peace. Anyway.
Well, they certainly knew something was coming. You know, when you build a bomb shelter in every building you construct, and every floor has its own safe room, that tells me, you know, you've got something coming to you that's going to be unpleasant. You know, it looks like on October 7th, that did in fact happen.
This is from the Free Thought Project.
Go ahead. You know, I think there's an economic solution to this that would be mutually beneficial.
What's that?
Relocation to, you know, and basically being paid to relocate and, you know, find someplace where they'll be happy. Maybe it's Egypt. Maybe it's North Dakota. I don't know. Find some places.
Unless, you know, people should only come here.
Well, they're not really doing much with it anyway.
Well, North Dakota? I get John, who's still on live chat. He might want to call in on that. You know, he's in Montana.
So.
Yeah, but that's okay.
You know, we can send them to Australia, Madagascar. There's all kinds of places that people can go. We can set them up.
How about
to
Egypt
live
and
in.
Jordan? Let's start with Egypt and Jordan. You're supposed to go to the next country. I mean, if you are an asylum seeker, you know, the place you're supposed to go is the next country that's safe. And of course, that would be Egypt and Jordan, because a lot of those countries are made up of former Ottoman Palestinians anyway. And so that would be the solution to me. But let's not argue politics. I want to hear more about this conference. So we've got climate change groups. We've got the Taiwan folks. We have Falun Gong, which is really interesting. I had no idea. I completely forgot about them. But I still find this fascinating.
Me too. I remember their mass weddings a while ago.
Oh, there you go.
I just now thought of it. They were the mass wedding people.
Oh, interesting.
They would book like these big arenas. Or a soccer stadium, and just hold mass weddings, you know.
That's like the Moonies. Yeah. Remember the Moonies?
Yeah.
Semyon Moon Unification Church.
It was in construction at the federal building. So they were the mass wedding people. I think they even had a little bit of a cultish thing going on, and I'm pretty sure that's what the Chinese would say if you asked them about it. That they're breaking up cults, but you know, there's no excuse for the organ harvesting, which definitely makes them the bad guy in that story.
So,
well, don't forget China,
okay,
too. Do you remember during COVID? Remember in COVID where China was, the government was actually, you know, welding doors shut and people were starving to
brutal,
death.
Yeah, brutal lockdowns. Just,
well,
just brutal stuff.
Yeah. You know, so this is not...
Letting people die in her.
So...
Yeah.
What's the message
for... Well,
people
need to think
Brandon.
About that the next time they buy their iPhone, you know?
Well, yeah,
I mean,
the money goes to
China.
If
you,
yeah.
The money that's where the manufacturing's at, and the manufacturing is cheaper because human rights is a joke down there. People are disposable, and human life means nothing, as you could just tell. So it's just like, remember that old Twilight Zone episode or Alfred Hitchcock, where a guy comes to a door of some family. The family, I think, is struggling a little bit. And the man says, I have a box. And on top of it is a red button. If you push that button, somebody who you never know, who you never have met, will die. But you'll get $1 million. And this is like, you know, in the 50s, so it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And they debate about it forever. And then finally they press the button. They get their money, and life goes on. Everything's, you know, peachy keen until, you know, one day the guy knocks on their door again, and he's like, yeah, Mr. So-and-so, how are you? What's going on? What are you doing here? And it's like, well, I'm here because somebody pushed your button. And,
wow. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, it's by a death of attrition, you know, right? It's like, yeah, nobody's, when you buy an iPhone, nobody necessarily dies. But they're getting a lot closer to it.
Yeah.
And so it's okay. My group is gone. I feel like Geraldo and
the Titanic with a safe. Nothing's in it.
At the vault. There's nothing there.
Well, listen, you've done a fabulous job this hour. This has been amazing. The fact that you're walking around with a cell phone, trying to get interviews, talking to people, and keeping the description going. You know, that this is great. This is fabulous what you're doing. So I'm really impressed. Let me quickly find something here. I'm gonna look. Yeah, no, you're welcome. Hang on. Let me just scroll. Where is it? Here we go.
The show's not over yet. Come on. All right. Thanks.
No, I know.
But, you know, I'm here at the Embarcadero. Okay. I'm at the ferry building.
Mm-hmm.
And about two piers down, because in those piers on the waterfront, is they moved the Exploratorium, you know, from down there. And apparently the Exploratorium is getting all buttoned up, so President Biden can have a fundraiser there later tonight with some of the other dignitaries. So they've erected some
Well, he might learn some real
here.
Science. he might actually learn real science. He should actually go to the Exploratorium. You know, they actually have
if he can stay awake that long, I mean, I think that's past his bedtime, which is 3:30 in the afternoon. If he can stay awake
4 hours with Xi Jinping, I mean, other than get instructions and get paid and, you know, I mean, this is intolerable to me that these two are meeting. First of all, that Xi Jinping's even here in the United States, given what the contempt he has for our country. He shouldn't even be here. I would have banned China from doing this. That's the first thing. Yeah,
exactly.
You and I agree on that.
And
that's
what everyone's upset about. You know, it's like it's a number of things. It's a perfect storm of anger, right? Because you have like the Palestinian Gaza thing, or the Gaza Israeli thing. You have climate, which is going to hell in a handbasket, and then you have this guy coming over here who's like a major player in all of this BS. To some degree. As well as I should say major players, including the United States. So there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of anger, and it's not unfounded. It's not unfounded anger. I mean, people are really angry. You're suffering every day in the United States, living paycheck to paycheck, losing their house, losing their jobs, losing their families. And, you know, all these guys are rattling on about whatever they want on the news. And then you have a bunch of, you know, bevy of blonde bimbos on Fox News with their Chinese news crucifix trying to actually think they care about the price of milk. You know, come on. You know, who are they kidding? Who are they fucking kidding? You know, it's like,
no, you're making
it's like with
point.
Everything
yeah,
that's going
is,
on,
yeah. uh-huh.
they're trying to, it's like remodeling the house that's on fire, right? Yeah, the house is on fire. We won't put out the fire. Let's, you know, let's slap on a new coat of paint. That ought to fix things up. Are you out of your damn mind?
I believe the expression you're looking for is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like they expect us to be that group of violin people, that quartet playing while all the rich people go, you know, run for the lifeboat. Yeah.
Be happy. Sing as the ship sinks. Yeah. I'm with you on that. And what I find fascinating is that there isn't more, I guess, media focus on the opposition, because here we have a situation. So you've got you as progressive and me as basically anti-federalist agreeing that Joe Biden's a criminal. And even though you and I disagree on politics and philosophy and ways to handle problems, we both agree that the country needs to be saved, that we need to bring, you know, freedom and prosperity to our fellow citizens. And the idea of this criminal, I mean, we know Joe Biden has taken millions from China. His son has taken millions from Ukraine. Okay. So they don't have a political philosophy. They don't have an allegiance. The only thing they have
allegiance. Their allegiance is to their bank account. That's where their allegiance is.
Yep.
And that's what makes them so deplorable. Mm-hmm. You know, because they have no allegiance. And it's like, you know, I understand, you know, greed being a powerful motivator. But at some point, you know, you need a place to live. You need a home. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, bubble yourself off and, you know, and while your neighbors all burn and die so you can make some more money.
Yep.
You know, what's the point? It's like being emperor of a nuclear wasteland almost. What are you trying to pull? It's like, if you get all the money in the world, what does it matter if there's no one around to enjoy it with? So that's why you're seeing a lot of anger. You're seeing a lot of anger because it's obvious, painfully obvious to everybody right now, that a very small group of people is controlling a narrative which does not reflect the views of the rest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I'm with you on that. You know, you look at the Davos Conference, the World Economic Forum, they had the Federal Reserve Conference in Wyoming somewhere. These different conferences happen around the world. Now we've got this Asian Economic Pacific, you know, thing, and it's all these different countries, but it's not the people. You know, we don't have the average Vietnamese representative. We don't have someone from the Philippines. We've got these leaders, and I don't know what they expect. And why are they in the United States? Do they want more of our money? You know, China's here to steal our technology, to steal our jobs, to move basically all our factories and industry over to China, and then have us buy, you know, stuff from them. That's what China's doing.
Yeah.
I know what they're doing.
Well, you asked and answer your own question, Greg. It's like, what's that old saying? Why do people rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
Yeah, so that's why that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. This is where the money is.
So I think
for now.
That's where the money is. And so they say the economic impact to the city will be about $50 million plus. But I gotta wonder, like, you know, what they paid off to get this conference here to begin with.
Well, where's that money come from? If it's $50 million, are these governments spending money here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people come here, they book hotel rooms, they
go
to bars and things like that. So that's where they're getting that from. But, you know, you also have, like, you know, there's kind of a loss to it, too, and that the local guys, like we talked about that one or two shows ago, where they cordon off the area, and now people, you know, so a lot of places have just closed outright. They said, we're closing for APEC because we're not going to be able to provide, you know, our service. We're not going to be able to make food for people. All these people are undocumented who are working there. So, you know, obviously that you need security to get past the checkpoints. The drivers, same thing too. So it's like the drivers can't get through even if they did have ID. And even if it was open because of the closure. So they got to park two blocks away and, you know, and run out and get food. It's just easier for them to take, you know, other gigs for places that aren't closed. So, yeah, that's how they got through too. You know, all this, you know, for these, like, this – these group of, you know, assholes coming to town. And so
no,
they can
I'd be
party,
curious what,
you know.
We need to talk about this next week. I don't know, the conference is what, 2 or 3 days or something like that? How long are they here for?
I think they're here at least and through Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
So today, what I understand, the big kickoff day, that's what the meeting with between China and the United States, also known as Sleepy Joe, and you know,
or is that called the Yes Master
fascist
meeting? You know, Yes Master. What do you want me to do? You know, how may I bow to you? You know, because but he's really talking to Obama. So what? So what is the connection between Obama and Xi Jinping? What does Obama get out of this?
Well, I know Obama and Biden are kind of on the outs because, one, Obama had to come in and explain, you know, AI to Biden a couple weeks ago. I was saving that for another show, but that's out. And then on top of that, you know, one of Obama's chief strategists, Axelrod, a guy named Axelrod.
I know Axelrod. I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah, and he posted a nasty tweet saying, you know, yeah, you can Biden can have the nomination, but, you know, who's it really going to benefit? and, you know, basically implying that Biden was just being selfish, you know, by taking the nomination, he's basically, you know, throwing the Democratic Party under the bus and throwing the election, you know, under the bus. And it's hard to deny that. I mean, Democrats do not like Biden right now. And it's not something that he's done recently, right? It's a chain of events that have caused him to lose his own party.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Biden's going to lose, and whoever happens to get, you know, get the most votes after, you know, that is going to win, which is probably going to be Donald Trump. So, you know, for the Republicans, you're going to have your vindication.
Yeah, well, actually, which is fine with me because the country ran great under Donald Trump. So we can talk about policies when he gets back. That's going to be really interesting. But the people don't know, like conservatives don't know that the Democrats, you know, aren't thrilled with Biden because nobody else is running against him. Where's the challenge? You know, we should have Obama and Gavin Newsom, which I guess are the two, you know, prospective candidates right now. Where are they? Are they going to make a challenge? Are they going to wait till primaries start? Primaries start in January. It's not that far away. So what do they plan to do?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm actually having kind of my own little, like, firsthand battle with this, you know, because there's a state senator, a guy named Whiny Wiener, and he's supposed to be the guy who's supposed to, you know, pick up the slack for Pelosi if she drops out, but he's already raised $1 million, but, you know, he's still playing this, like, you know, bow to the party game, and me and AOC, you know, come up through the cracks, so to speak, and get in office because we're not willing to play those games. We're trying to help people, not a party. And
yeah, see, AOC is really interesting, as I find you interesting for the same reason that you're independent thinkers. And I think people really underestimate AOC. This is why I'd love to have her on the show. But she voted, and we talked about this. We're going to have to go in a couple minutes. We're in overtime now. But the idea that it was the kill switch on the cars. Remember we talked about that earlier this week?
I couldn't believe that. I mean, yeah. I can and I can't believe it. You know, at the same time, it's like, that makes sense. We are, you know, converging towards a, you know, police state. But it doesn't surprise me if she voted for it. You know, I would have voted. I mean, I did not vote for it. I would have opposed it too.
Mm-hmm.
Positively Orwellian. So it's interesting to know I've been walking in the financial district while we've been talking, and at this time of day, it should be buzzing with people. And
yeah.
It's a ghost town, you know. They have bars
really?
Open up this morning. I don't. Yeah, the Irish Times open up. I'm standing right there. I guess they're trying to cater towards a different, you know, financial district
I used to joke about this when I was doing tours that because when we went downtown, I said, if it's a good day downtown, then the restaurants are full. I said, if it's a bad day downtown, you know, the financial world, then the bars are full. That's how it did it to work.
The bars are supposed to be full at the end of the day, not at the beginning of the day.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So what do they know?
Yeah.
That's a great question. What do they know?
Yeah.
What about the Pacific Stock Exchange? Is that still operating?
I'm actually walking towards it now. I'm trying to get to Montgomery to see if there's any action at the Israeli consulate.
Ooh,
there.
Yeah,
I'm almost there. Oh, there's the. There. I'm sure they'll have something to say. I think it's Jewish people are the original drama queens. Let's see if.
You're going to get the Israeli consulate barricade. To comment? They're not going to comment.
Yeah, I don't know. They might. The barricades are down.
Oh, try it. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see if is there anybody doing anything. No, wait a minute. There's some patrol cars. Not too much. I don't think they're expecting anything. Yeah, I guess we should sign off there.
Okay.
This has been Bianca Von Krieg live from downtown San Francisco for the Progressive Report.
Yeah, websites, contact information, your campaign against Pelosi. Let's get a couple of details, and then we'll talk next week.
Yeah, let's do that. It's biancaforsanfrancisco.org, or just Google Bianca Von Krieg. You'll find all our stuff. Please give money to the campaign. every $500 allows us to give job training to an at-risk youth here in San Francisco and in Oakland, and that can help them out down the road. So that being said, I'll see you guys next week, and good luck.
We'll do it all again. Bianca, thank you so much for this live report. I really appreciate it. Nice job. And you take care. All right. Bye now. So this has been quite a day. We started off funny with Bill Pecky. We had Wendy Arthur, Oh My God report. We had Bill with his report, Bonnie, and then we had John join us. And then we had Bianca live from San Francisco with this APEC conference. And the title of the show today, which I think we pretty well covered it, APEC San Francisco, Xi Jinping instructs Brandon Obama. Yes, master. I do have my fun. I mean, I have a lot of fun with these titles. Anyway, this has been fabulous. Tomorrow, we got a lot of open time. I have a couple hours to fill on Thursdays. I want to get more reporters on Thursdays. So if you ever wanted to report for Action Radio, now's the time to let me know. And it should be, so we have the first 2 hours to be open. Then we've got CJ with the Wellness Watch. And so, and then Friday, we've got our Fridays are full. Next week is Thanksgiving week. So in fact, this weekend, it's Creek Fest. So if you want to head out Saturday and Sunday, if you're in the greater Milton, Florida, if you're in the panhandle of Florida, Alabama, if you're around here, come on down to the Creek Fest. So the Creek Tribal Grounds. So go to the Santa Rosa Creek Band. Go to their Facebook page, not tribe, but band, B-A-N-D. And then they'll give you all the information for how to find the Creek Tribal Grounds and go to the Creek Fest. I'll be there. I'll be doing live Facebook video Saturday morning. And so that's going to be fascinating. And then we've got next week, I'm just looking at my calendar right now. We've got Robin Touts coming back, and she's the crusader against breast implants. And you wouldn't think that's a huge topic. That's a huge topic. And then my special guest next week is Brian Artis. Dr. Brian Artis will be here at 10 a.m. Central Time. So we're going to start the show a little bit late on Wednesday. And, of course, Thanksgiving is the next day, and I'm seeing if any of our reporters want to call in. We might have like a free-for-all Thanksgiving. If not, then I'll just take the day off and be back, next week. This has been fun. This is great. So let me just give you a couple more announcements, and then I will see you all tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, when we do it all again. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.